Deacon Michael Ossoff Hawkins.
Shabbat Shalom, great saints of Yahweh. You can be seated. We have a lot to cover and a little time to cover it, so we're going to get right into it. We have been shown some reserved treasures for our teacher Israel Hawkins and the great saints of Yahweh. So I'm going to read an article here real quick. Hubble telescope reveals one of the youngest galaxies ever seen. A new deep field view of the universe from NASA Hubble telescope has revealed one of the youngest galaxies, youngest ever observed by astronomers. The galaxy is ancient, but from the perspective of people of the Earth, us, it looks very young. The name of the galaxy is Abel 2744-Y1. Okay? This galaxy is so far away that it takes about 13 billion years for the light to get here and to reach our neighborhood. Now, Abel 2744-Y1 is part of a cluster of galaxies bearing the same name. Now, obviously, there's a whole area up there that Yahweh has reserved for Pastor and the work of Yahweh. And if you would, turn over to First Kefa, that's found on page 957. First Kefa 1. And we're going to be starting in verse 3. First Kefa 1, verse 3. Blessed be Yahweh, the Father of our King, Yahshua Messiah, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Yahshua Messiah and through the teachings of Israel Hawkins. You cannot have Yahshua without Pastor. They work together constantly to get this work accomplished. Verse 4. To an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, and which does not fade away, reserved in the heavens for you. An inheritance reserved in the heavens. Now, of course, that word heavens in Strong's is Strong's number 3772. And it means a place of the sun, the moon, and, of course, the stars. Now, quickly, if you'll turn over to Eob 9. This is really just an absolutely wonderful thing Yahweh's showing his house. Things that are planned and set aside for those who overcome and stay focused in their calling and in the laws of Yahweh and Israel's teachings. Okay, Eob 9, page 416, and in verse 9 it reads, "He is the creator of the bear, Orion, the Pleiades, and the constellations in the south." Constellations in the south. Now, the King James Version has this word, constellations, is chambers. And Strong's number for it is 2315, and means a room, a chamber, a holding place, if you will. But the Brown, Driver, and Briggs, the meaning for this word is chambers of the south, where constellations are treasured up, reserved in the heavens. Now, Abel 2744-Y1 is located in the constellation Sculptor in the south, or southern hemisphere. Okay, so now, if you'll turn over to Isaiah 45. Isaiah 45 is found on page 559. We're going to cover some of the prophecies and writings about our great teacher who we love and serve. Isaiah 45. And we'll be starting in verse 4. If I can read, I got so many notes, it's hard to see it. "For Jacob, my servant's sake, and Israel, my chosen, and I call you by name, Jacob, and I surname you, Israel, though you did not recognize that it was me." Now look up to verse 3. "I will give you the treasures of darkness and the riches of secret places, so you may know that I, Yahweh, who calls you by name, am the father of Yisrael." So he's going to give Pastor the treasures of darkness and the treasures of riches of the secret places. Now, the word darkness there is Strong's number 2822. And, of course, it does mean darkness, black, and also night. Now, Brown, Driver, and Briggs shows the meaning for the word darkness does mean secret place or hiding place. Yahweh has been hiding things to protect them from the gods and destruction, so they are, because they're reserved in the heavens for pastor, the called out ones, all the anointed people of Yahweh for the work in the kingdom. Now, if you will you please play the video? We're going to watch a short video clip on Abel 2744-Y1. There's no audio, it'll show you. One of the most distant galaxies in the early universe discovered. Okay, this is the star, the cluster of all the galaxies. Now, way up there in the darkness, far beyond this cluster, is Abel 2744-Y1. Now, they took this over a series of pictures from different parts of the Earth and combined them, and that's the only way they can kind of bring these things out, because they're so distant and so difficult to see. Now, these things are being stored up in heaven for pastor and the called out ones to do the work. Now, some information on Abel 2744-Y1. 2744 in Strong's means fever, or one born during a mother's fever. Now, if you remember, pastor, when they were coming from Texas going to Oklahoma, they came off the bridge and labor had started. There was some difficulties, but it stopped. Then when they got to the bridge in Lexington and Purcell, it started again, and they were desperately trying to get to the other side to where they could park the wagon and horse and the mule and the horses and all their stuff and allow things to take place. Now, Brown, Driver, and Briggs has this meaning for 2744. The head of a family of returning exiles, free, set free, freed men and women, nobles. Now, you remember the Going On to Perfection series. Pastor had brought that out. That word nobles is the called out ones. The nobles, the called out ones. But for 2744, Gesenius has this, of a man to engrave, as in words or carving into wood. Pastor is using his pencil, engraves the words of life into the Prophetic Word magazine and newsletters for us. So, regarding these treasures held in heaven for pastor to be able to do the work, when I called him on this, he said, "That's ours." So he said, all these, this whole area is for the work of Yahweh when the kingdom is established. And you remember he talked about, you know, when we're proven fit and our judgment is set and we're in the kingdom doing the work, if we want to create a planet, we can. And remember he said, well, I have a few ideas for my own. Well, I think Yahweh upped that a little bit, and he's going to give Pastor a whole lot more than just one planet. You figure there's billions of planets in one galaxy, so we got a lot of work to do and a lot of planets to cover in teaching the great work of Yahweh, the great laws of Yahweh. So keep your focus, stay strong in Yahweh's house, be in unity with pastor and the priests, the great priests of Yahweh, the great priests of Yahweh. They're our life. And you will be able to create your planets, your galaxies, and all your constellations. And with that, if you'll all please stand. It's with great honor I have the privilege to turn it over to a great teacher in Yahweh's house, a fellow deacon, the great deacon David Obadiah Hawkins.
Shabbat shalom, saints of Yahweh. You may be seated. We've got a really great day planned out for you today. I hope you'll find this very interesting. We've got several videos for you to watch. And what I'd like for you to keep in mind while you're looking at these videos is what the people are saying. You're going to see some of the things that took place in several of the places we went. You'll also hear from students and teachers and administrators. Also, you'll hear from government officials, too. These things were all done in like the last, seemed like the last year, but I think it was the last month. And so please listen closely, take notes, and know that this work is going forth and that people are ready for it. You'll be amazed at some of the things that you hear coming out of people's mouths on how ripe they are for the harvest, how ready they are to hear the words of Yahweh, okay? So what we'd like to do at this time to get this moving is go ahead and play disc one, please.
Consideration, care, and concern. And those three things help us to remember what respect is, to recognize the value of people and things.
It's respect, and you do the right thing when you're being shown disrespect. If you use respect, then it'll be like outing the fire, and it won't get worse, it'll die down.
If you don't stand against bullying in your school, you're supporting bullying in your school. And it is a sad fact that many, many children are dying from bullying.
It doesn't matter how tall they are, how short they are, if they're rich or poor. It doesn't matter. You have to show respect to all people.
So if someone says something to you that you don't like, maybe they're bullying you, you can't control them. You can only control what you say in return.
When someone shows us disrespect, I ask you that to begin with, what do you feel like doing? Someone said punch them, slap them, get back. Well, that retaliation only leads to more retaliation, and it keeps going back and forth.
So here's the bottom line. Negative conformity in the form of peer pressure, and that's what it would be, peer pressure, can cause you to make choices that you would not make on your own.
If you practice self-control, you'll have success, and it'll release you from that bond of disrespect.
The Peaceful Sufism teaches that the strength of a society lies in the conduct of its individuals. So if we have a great society, respectful society, a society that practices self-control, then the individuals will become better.
Making a right moral choice.
Each and every person has value, correct? Everyone is unique. We're all different.
So self-control. You gotta control the way you think, the way you feel, and the way you act.
When we get disrespected, then we have to practice self-control, controlling our emotions, as the last speaker said. We have to control our thoughts, and then our feelings, and then our actions, not retaliate, but practice self-control and respond to with respect.
And showing disrespect to someone that's disrespecting you is just adding fuel to the fire. I mean, it doesn't help anything at all. We really need to learn to show consideration, care, and concern towards all.
So you actually have to control those thoughts. If you can control the thoughts of embarrassment and humiliation before they turn to anger, that would be great. Because then you can actually think a little bit clearer without slapping the guy.
Once you allow negative thoughts and negative images and things into your mind, you can't get rid of them. They're there forever.
If you had a hammer and you had a nail and you had a picture you needed to hang up, you think you could just believe it's going to hang itself up there if you look at it long enough? Just believe it'll work, right? No, you have to take action. You have to actually pick up the nail, pick up the hammer, and go hammer it into the wall and put the picture up, right? It's not going to work by itself. You have to use it. It's like any tool. If you don't use it, it don't work.
My name's Catherine, and I was solution with my mother. Out of the many adults, there was 30, 40-year-olds. I was the only one answering. I was 6 or 7. I knew all the answers. And until this day, now that I'm 6, until this day, I still remember everything that I was taught. I still remember everything that I was taught. Everything from road rage to disrespect to bullying to everything.
I think we should start our program. And not just here, is always a start. All over the radio.
It takes courage to make the right choice. All right, now, as we teach in the Peaceful Solution, the right choice is something that doesn't do harm to yourself, it doesn't do harm to someone else, and it doesn't do harm to the environment or bring damage to possessions and property.
So an influence can actually affect how or your ability to make a right choice. You may be influenced into making a wrong choice. If you do something negative, it will affect you in the long run. Even if you don't see what you're doing wrong at the time, it will affect you in the long run.
If you know something is wrong, it takes more courage to stand up for what is right. And your community actually needs people standing up for what is right.
Stop acting with me, okay? We do that?
Yeah.
Stop.
Stop.
Think.
The choices right now, the choices that you make right now at your age are going to affect you throughout the rest of your life.
Rules show that we care about what we own and that we expect others to take care of it as well.
So when we set rules for our belongings or for our possessions, we are showing that we care for them, because that's why you would set rules, so that they don't get damaged.
We weren't born knowing how to disrespect someone. We were taught it. So if we are taught to disrespect someone, that means we can be taught to respect people, correct?
You have options. You can proceed with the right choice, or you can proceed with the wrong choice. The right thing to do is to proceed with the right choice.
I thought the peaceful solution offered a very peaceful solution to what's going on at Monmouth High School. I think this is what the students need, you know, to help build their character and their morale. It would probably cut out a lot of things that are going on in the classroom. They don't have to come see me so much. I saw a lot of the students reminding other students, that's not very respectful. You know, are you being disrespectful to Ms. Kendrick or to someone else? So I would definitely ask them if they think that it would be beneficial if they offered it in the classroom.
Peaceful Solutions came into our school and did a school-wide presentation broken up by grades, and then they broke into small groups and came into our classrooms and interacted more small group session with our students. One of the things that the students really enjoyed was when they did role play and they discussed, you know, what was an appropriate solution for a problem and what was inappropriate and why, what would be some other ways they could have handled it. It was a very engaging activity for our students, and I think they thoroughly enjoyed it. They saw someone other than their teachers and their parents talking to them about bullying and appropriate behavior, self-control, self-respect, issues that our students today are really struggling with.
So how do you think the children took it today?
Especially this afternoon when they got up and got to act out, I think that that was very relevant to them. I think that the vast majority of them, when presented with these hypothetical scenarios, want to make the right choice. It's when they are exposed to them themselves that they respond, again, to this negative peer pressure or to this idea that I've got to maintain my image. I don't see a problem with working this in an elementary school environment even, and continuing to build on it throughout their academic and educational career.
All right, lots of exciting stuff, as you can see. I know it doesn't seem, in that short video, it doesn't seem like maybe that much was going on, but in reality, there was presentations going on in the auditorium, there's presentations in the entire ninth grade class. They got it really heavy duty in each class. And then in ISS, which is in school suspension, and also they have their own alternative school on site. And so all these children got taught. And just one quick thing I'd like you to think about. The principal at that school had requested help with character education. All over the media, all over Facebook, this teacher had said there was an incident that occurred involving the ninth grade football team, a bullying incident, and it went out on the on YouTube and all the videos and everything. And she had said that was so horrible that what needs to be done is that more important than football is character. So she canceled the entire ninth grade football season. And they're getting character education. And so out of all the character programs they looked at, they chose the Peaceful Solution to come in and do this. Praise Yahweh. Now with that, if you'll all please remain standing for a moment, I'd like to, it's my great honor and privilege to introduce to you the great future priest, White Buffalo.
Shabbat shalom, everyone. You may be seated. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. We have a lot to go over today, so stay tuned. So, we went to Eagle Pass. This is specifically what I'm talking about and spreading the message in Eagle Pass, Texas. And so, we went to Eagle Pass Junior High School. Here's the front of the school.
right here. So we taught about how to respond to disrespect in the right way, because in the world, when you bring up the topic about responding to disrespect, you'll hear, well, you know, it shows you're a man when you get even or fight back, or, you know, if someone does something to me and disrespects me, you know, just punch him in the nose or so. This is what you'll hear. And so we went there to teach them the right way and how to respond to disrespect with respect. So we had a lot of students there. We taught a lot of students, even in the thousands in students that we taught. I got to teach two of these classes I got to teach two of them in the auditorium. And so we met the principal, and you can tell that this was very important to the principal. The principal was very excited that we came there, and you could tell because he asked the students for their undivided attention to us, and he asked us to tell him at the end of the day how the students did with listening. They were very excited, they were very active, and they enjoyed role-playing. So, if you would turn over to page 573 in your Book of Yahweh, it's Yeremiah 1, and we'll start at verse 6. It says, "Then I said, Ah, Yahweh, my father, behold, I cannot speak, for I am only a youth. But Yahweh said to me, Do not say I am only a youth, for you will go to all whom I send you, and whatever I command you, you will speak. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you to deliver you, says Yahweh. Then Yahweh put out his hand and touched my mouth, and Yahweh said to me, Behold, I have put my words in your mouth. See, this day I have set you over the nations and over kingdoms, to root out and pull down, to destroy and to throw down, to build and to plant. And we are planting these seeds of righteousness. But why is Yahweh putting these words in our mouth? If you would turn over to Yekatskia. It's Yekatskia 18. It's on page 639. And we'll start at verse 20. It says, "The soul that sins, it will die. The son will not bear the iniquity of the father, nor will the father bear the iniquity of the son. The righteousness of the righteous will be upon himself, and the wickedness of the wicked will be upon himself. But if the wicked will turn from all his sins that he has committed, and will keep my statutes, and do that which is lawful and right, then he will surely live. He will not die." Verse 23 says, "Do I have any pleasure at all that the wicked should die, says Father Yahweh? No, but rather that he would turn back from his wicked ways and live." Skip down to verse 27. It says, "Again, when the wicked man turns away from his wickedness that he has committed and does that which is lawful and right, he will save himself and live, because he considered and turned away from his transgressions that he has committed, he will surely live. He will not die." So why Yahweh is putting these words in our mouth is so we can go out and save these people from death and teach them the right way to do things. So, praise Yahweh. Yahweh is putting these words in our mouth through the knowledge of the peaceful solution, through studying to show ourselves approved. So, some students at first, they disagreed somewhat. They were like, you know, it really does show courage to step up and fight. And some thought that war was the right thing to do. But after, we kind of had to explain it to them. And these things, they only cause destruction. And some of these students caught on the right way. And there was lots of work to do. So much that we had to split up, but we are still a team, and Yahweh is still putting these words in our mouth. So stay tuned and look and watch these things as they're taking place and prophecies being fulfilled. And with that, I have the great honor and privilege to turn it over to the great future priest, Ephraim Hawkins.
Shabbat shalom, everyone. You may be seated. Okay, let me get my stuff together. Obviously, I dropped some stuff. Thank you. Okay, you may be seated. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. When the opportunity came for me to go to Little Rock High School, my mom, I was in Walmart, so I started jumping up and down, which I'm surprised the manager didn't come, telling me to get out of the store because I'm too rowdy. But anyway, that didn't come. So anyway, I started working on the my lesson, chapter 5. And when the time did come, I was picked up and we went and we stopped to rest and all that. And then the next day, we got to Mamel High School. Now, the thing that really did stand out to me was the thing looked like a movie theater, the auditorium. It looked like a movie theater. So, movie theater, a piece of solution, character education program. That's what we were using it for. We don't need worldly movies. Okay. Now, as I watched the students coming in, they were somewhat rowdy. They were really rowdy, actually. And they were rowdy, and once the class started, they started cooperating and quieting down. There was this person that had to kind of calm them down, because people were about ready to speak. So, once we got that calmed down, the second of the students came in, and what really stood out to me again was they were fighting. They were fist fighting. They were fake fist fighting, which they were conducting themselves the wrong way. And one thing is they're taught, but they're taught the wrong way. So we're here to teach them the right way. And praise Yahweh. May you please turn over to 2 Kefa 2, verse 14, page 962. Okay. Second Kefa 2:14, page 962. Having eyes full of adultery, who cannot cease from sin, beguiling unstable souls, having a mind expertly trained in covetous practices, cursed children. Trained in covetous practices. They're trained. It's not like they're born with that. They're trained, they're taught wrong. So we're here to teach them the right way. Now, influences. That's one big thing. Influence comes from the word influere, which means to flow into. So, positive and negative influences always flow in. No matter, they come from here, they come from there, they come from everywhere. TV, video games, everything. Now, what is right to do is welcome the positive and push away the negative. If you don't push it away, you'll fall with it and not rise. On another missionary trip, on the cards, we were told to pass to government leaders. We almost immediately, I went to the Capitol, and I ended up right there. As you say, it says, to David, future Governor Ephraim Carrier. And he signed his name, Governor Beebe. Now, and just be ready. Continue studying. Don't let go because you might get caught no telling when. So just get ready, study. And with that, I'd like to turn it over to Melchizedek Hawkins. Future priest Melchizedek Hawkins.
Shabbat shalom, everyone. You may be seated. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. Today, my topic is on the message is getting spread to the whole world. While we were down in Laredo, we went down to Judge Rosie Cuellar's courtroom, and we taught what true courage is. Most people think courage is carrying a gun at the battlefield, or jumping off a cliff, or skydiving, or things like this. But that is not courage, that's just foolishness. Courage is having the determination to do what is right in the face of adversity. And whenever we were finished, Judge Rosie Cuellar got her inspiration from Pastor not to fall into this persecution. Because she and anyone else who supports the Peaceful Solution character education program will get persecuted and hated. And at this time, she is getting persecuted. And before she got persecuted, we knew that she would get persecuted. Let's turn over to Yochanan. Yochanan 15. Found on page 833. Yochanan 15. Yochanan 15, verses 18 through 21. If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would have loved its own. But because you are not part of the world, for I have chosen you out of the world. For this reason the world hates you. Remember the word that I said to you. A servant is not greater than his ruler. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have persecuted my word, if they have kept my word, they will also keep yours also. So they persecuted Yahshua for bringing forth the same message. They also persecute us for bringing forth this message. Let's also turn over to Yochanan Mark. Yochanan Mark 15. Yochanan Mark 13. Sorry. Yochanan Mark 13 and verses 13. It's on page 775. Yochanan Mark 13, verses 13. And you will be hated by all men for my name's sake, but he who endures until the end, the same will be saved. Now, Judge Rosie Cuellar is getting her inspiration from Yahweh through Pastor. In conclusion, I would like to say the Peaceful Solution Character Education Program is spreading through the whole world. More and more people are grasping hold of it. So the Peaceful Solution Character Education Program is going out more and more. And everyone, please stand. I'd like to turn over to the next speaker, Future Priest Deacon Abishalom.
Shabbat shalom, everyone. You may be seated. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. Now, I'm going to be continuing on where we're talking about the missionary trip to Maumelle, Arkansas. So we were driving there. We got there and we got to the school, this high school. Maumelle High School, and we we had to teach the auditorium. This was the auditorium. That was just the lower level of the auditorium. And we had to teach the auditorium and several of the classes. And we had several sessions throughout the day. It's another one of the classrooms. And so we had several sessions, and they were very excited about the peaceful solution. They wanted to learn. So this building, this school, it was fairly new. It was built 3 years ago, so it was basically a new building. And the classrooms, it was they had a lot of room there. It was a very fancy school. And it holds right now 1,200 students. And it cost $55 million to build that school. Okay, so Miss Collier was one of the teachers that I got to teach in her classroom. She was an English teacher. And as you heard earlier, there was a bullying incident that had occurred at that school with the football team. But the student that was getting bullied, he actually came to the class and he was interactive. And he was actually raising his hand, answering questions. And he was very interactive and he was acceptive of the peaceful solution. And another thing was the role playing. The students, we did some role playing, and that helped. They were very excited about the role playing, and the teacher said that it inspired her and the students whenever they got to role play. Now, the teacher, we interviewed her afterwards. Now, this is what she said, if you could play disc two.
I think the children took it today.
Especially this afternoon when they got up and got to act out. I think that that was very relevant to them. I think that the vast majority of them, when presented with these hypothetical scenarios, want to make the right choice. It's when they are exposed to them themselves that they respond, again, to this negative peer pressure or to this idea that I've got to maintain my image.
So, Ms. Collier, what would you tell other administrators and teachers about this program at this point?
You and I talked a little bit earlier about how culturally this is becoming a bigger problem with our kids. They're becoming more and more egocentric. They're becoming more and more isolated. It's ironic that the more technology we have, the more into ourselves we have become. This is the best exposure I've seen, other than what I do, like with literature and putting them in other people's shoes, that I've seen to kind of getting them to think outside of themselves and about the feelings of others and about how they respond to people and how they react in a variety of situations.
Okay. So, and as you, I think you could hear, but she said about how they wanted the books so they, so she could reinforce what we taught there, and she wanted to continue teaching. So, if you could turn over to Yekatskia, too. Now, Yekatskia 2, verse 7. It says, "But you will speak my words, the law and the prophets, to them, whether they will listen or whether they will not, for they are most rebellious." Now, if you look at chapter 3, verse 1, it says, "Son of man, eat what you find. Eat this scroll and go." And the scroll is the law and the prophets. Okay, so we're eating the law and the prophets. We're putting this in our mouths. And speak, go and speak to the house of Israel. So I opened my mouth and he gave me the scroll to eat. And he said, son of man, feed your belly and fill your bowels with this scroll that I give you. So I did eat, and it was in my mouth like sweet honey for sweetness. So the law and the prophets are in our mouths. And then verse 4, it says, "And he said to me, son of man, go to the house of Israel and speak my words, the law and the prophets, to them." So we're going to speak the law and the prophets to them. And remember, the peaceful solution is the laws of Yahweh. And as the theme was to learn what to teach and then to teach what you learn. Okay, so we're going to teach the law and the prophets and their peaceful solution to them. and Yahweh's going to put the words in our mouths. So in conclusion, I'd like to encourage everyone to keep studying, and as Ephraim said, keep coming to the classes, keep learning, and because you never know when you could be called. And with that, I'll turn it over to future priest Deacon Yaakov.
Shabbat Shalom, everyone. You may be seated. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. Today I'll be continuing on the recent missionary trips. The first one, well, it wasn't really first, but it was 1/24/2014, and this was to the radio station, as you heard about in the video. It was called Laredo Citizens for Good Government, but we know to change it to Laredo Citizens for Great Government. And it's hosted by J. St. John, as you can see on the picture there. And then here we are. That's us in his radio station. Now I want to read a little bit about him. It says it's the morning show at 7 o'clock a.m. It says this J. St. John morning show is consistently the top-rated show along the Texas border. Jay is one of the best-known local talk show hosts in South Texas. His show is a mixture of his lifestyle issues and anything else. I feel like talking about Jay. Then it goes down a little. This is a few comments about him. It says, Jay, you have always demanded accountability in a non-controversial way. And that's what I like about you. You have a big heart in serving our community. Remember the attitude of servitude. That's what we all need to have. Making sure we elect the right people and making our community a better place to live. He invited us. It says here, you have a big heart in electing the right people to teach about the right things, having a positive character. That's what the peaceful solution is all about. Thanks, Jay, for sticking your neck out there for us. He invited us to come teach about the peaceful solution. Now, for the next thing, could you please play video 3?
Recently, this event is a bit more with a positive note. I was in the United ISD swim team, and the coach there, he's constantly teaching us respect. Every single day, he'd give us a speech before or after practice, and he'd tell us to treat one another with respect. And there was no rivalry there. We were all one team, and we all treated each other with respect. At first, I thought things were going to be a little weird, because I figured, with all the stereotypes, that maybe I was going to get picked on or maybe I was going to get beat up by the time the practice ended. But that wasn't the case, because we had that constant reminder every single day that just told us, hey, you should respect each other. Hey, you're all human. Hey, we're one team. We might be four schools, but we're one team. So when the peaceful solution came to my school, I was left in awe. Because the teachers presenting, they weren't some old people or like, they were young people, maybe 20 years and younger, and there were children there. There were middle schoolers teaching us. I spoke to my classmates after the presentation at my school was over, and all of them agreed that when they saw the seventh grader teaching us about respect, they felt a little guilty because here we see this young student who knows what he's talking about and who knows how to treat other people. And then we see ourselves and sometimes we don't always stop to think what we're doing. So and there's this saying that it takes a village to raise a child. Over the years, our society has stopped becoming the village and we need to become that village again.
Thank you. Praise Yahweh. Now that was a council meeting down in Laredo, Texas. She taught before the council. The peaceful solution here in Abilene, Texas, we couldn't make it because of the bad weather, the ice, But there was videos played down there about the STOP acronym. One thing that I really liked that she said it takes a village to raise a child. The teachers, she also said that we have stopped becoming that village and we need to start becoming the village again. It reminded me of that we need teachers in order to have a positive character. You're not going to pop up becoming having a positive character. You need a teacher to tell you the right way to conduct yourself. If you turn to Hebrews 5, verse 12 on page 945. Hebrews 5, 12, it says, "For indeed, through by this time you ought to be teachers. You have need that someone teach you again the elementary principles of Yahweh's word, and have become those who have need of milk and not of strong meat." So it shows that we need teachers. In order to understand Yahweh's word, we need a teacher. Now, in conclusion, remember what Yishel Hawkins, the author, said. The peaceful solution will not work in your life if you refuse it. The only way that it will work is if you apply it. You have to apply it in order for it to work in your life. We need to remember, keep on studying, keep on coming to the classes, as the last speaker told you. And don't give up. Remain strong in the faith. And with that, I'll turn it over to the great future priest, Shalom O. Hawkins. Shabbat Shalom, everyone. You may be seated. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. We're going to get right into it. I would like to share with you some things that occurred on 1/24/2014. We went to United High School, and it was very cold. It was about 30 degrees outside. Now, I have some pictures here. You can see in that picture, this is the front of United High School. This school is very big. It holds 4,500 students, 4,500 students. And that's just the front of it. In this picture, this picture right here, this is the front of United High School. They say it's the size of 2 football fields or bigger. Right here is their mascot. And then this picture right here is their symbol, the U for United. Then it has the longhorn in the middle. And then right here is us standing in front of their mascot, which is the longhorn. And then here's the Great Kahan's motorhome that we took down there. Now, we had 2 classes. Now, the first class had a couple hundred students in it. And they said that it was very interesting, and some of those students actually came to the next class because they said it was very inspirational. The teachers, they thought it was awesome. And the counselors, they thought it was the best program that they've ever seen in their life. Praise Yahweh. I would like to play a video, if we could please play disc 4.
Thank you to the Peaceful Solution for coming by to United High School and speaking to all of our students. The program seems to be really good. The students were motivated. They learned a lot about respect, about bullying, and I know this is going to make a big difference in how they react to different situations from now on. So again, thank you to Peaceful Solution for coming by and helping United High School.
Thank you. As you can see in the video, she said that it was very inspirational, and the students were interactive. And I would like you to know something. In one of the classes, actually, this one girl came to both classes, and she was taking Peaceful Solution Character Education Program classes with her mother when she was in second and third grade. And her mother was sent by CPS, so the daughter came with her too. and they went over the self-control unit in the Peaceful Solution. And to this day, now she's in 10th grade, and to this day she still remembers some things about the STOP acronym, road rage. And now she's in 10th grade, so you can see how it's stuck in her mind. And she wanted to get involved. I would like to read you something. This is something she said she remembered. On page 170 in the self-control unit, it says, road rage is another way that a lack of self-control affects our society. Road rage leads to violence and puts anyone who is driving at risk. Road rage can be described as the extreme anger of a motorist who is intolerant of the driving habits of another. And a little bit later in the book, it's talking about when people lack self-control when they're driving, they lack it in a lot of other places. So it's not just when they're driving. And then people who control their emotions, they value other people and find peaceful ways to resolve conflicts. Now, the girl, they wanted to get involved, and again, they wanted to get involved in putting the Peaceful Solution into the recreational centers and after-school programs so that people can get used to it and start making positive choices. And she was making a video in United High School. And even when the buses were gone, she had to call her mother or another person to come and get her because she wanted to spread the message of the Peaceful Solution and how great it actually is. So you can see that the young people want to make a change, and we could all see, and we should work together, become a team, and start spreading this message through the whole world. And with that, if everyone would please stand, I'd like to turn it over to the great Deacon Yishro.
Shabbat Shalom, everyone. You may be seated. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. Now, I'm going to be talking about the trip to Mamel High School. Now, first off, I have a few pictures here. There's one. So that's the school we went to, and first off, the school made almost 300 copies of these three pages in the Respect Unit. They made almost 300 copies of that for us to hand out to the students while we were teaching, and that's what we taught. So we split up and went to different classrooms. And I got to teach in the ISS, which is in-school suspension. Now, most of the students there called it ID class. Well, they called it that because they didn't bring their ID, so they had to go there. Well, guess what? We have the answer to that. The Peaceful Solution. In the Responsibility Unit, Responsibility, and on page 3, on the bottom paragraph, it says, you learn how to be responsible through everyday tasks, interactions, and experiences. The tasks that we sometimes think are boring because they take us away from the fun things we want to do are often the ones that teach us how to be responsible. So if they think that bringing their ID to class is boring, well, that's one of the things that will help them to be responsible. So the next time you are told to turn off the TV, close the back door, feed the dog, don't get upset. You are being taught how to become a responsible person. Developing a responsible character takes time and determination, but being someone others can count on as dependable and trustworthy is well worth the effort. So remember, always be responsible in everything. And for example, if we have to carry our driver's license with us, we need to be responsible. Because even though it may be boring, well, that will teach you responsibility. So after we taught those pages in the Respect Unit, Miss Kindred actually wanted us to come back. She was the teacher. Actually wanted us to come back to her classroom and present the students with our
responding to disrespect slideshow. So we came back and we taught them that, and because the students were staying there the whole day. Now we went to another classroom, and one thing that stood out to me there was one student said that he valued weed. And he said he valued it because it got, or it kept him in the right mindset. Well, so as we all know, those things will cause us great consequences, and they can destroy our body. But as he grows up in the peaceful solution teaching him, as he grows up, his values will actually change. And so hopefully as he grows up, he'll change his values and he won't keep going in that mindset. But after we were done teaching, the teacher there actually held back some of the students and corrected them for their behavior, whether they were talking without raising their hand or causing a ruckus in the class. She actually held them back and corrected them for their behavior. Now, we also taught in the auditorium. Right here, this is the auditorium, and the students were down in this lower section here. And one of the young teachers, as you saw in the video, when he was done teaching, all the students, they all stood up and they started clapping. Please turn over in your books, Yahweh, to Jeremiah. And chapter 1, and starting at verse 6, and it says, on page 571, in verse 6, it says, "Then I said, Ah, Yahweh, my Father, behold, I cannot speak, for I am only a youth. But Yahweh said to me, Do not say, I am only a youth, for you will go to all to whom I send you, and whatever I command you, you will speak. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you to deliver you, says Yahweh. Then Yahweh put out his hand and touched my mouth. And Yahweh said to me, Behold, I have put my words in your mouth." And as you saw with this young teacher here, he was not afraid of these students that he was teaching. He got up there and got right into his lesson. He was not afraid of them. And so he got up there and taught his lesson very well. And as verse 9 says, "Behold, I have put my words in your mouth." And that's what Yahweh has done. He has put his words in our mouth through the peaceful solution and these teachings. Now, this is a great example of how children, even this young, can get up in front of a big group of people and teach the peaceful solution. This is a great example of that. And praise Yahweh. Now, at the end of that class, all the students were coming and wanting to shake his hand. And even in the hallways, they were wanting to shake his hand. Now, something else that stood out to me was there was a police officer, and we were talking to him about the school, and he said that they've caught students there that were actually trying to use drugs on the school grounds. And they made a larger number of arrests this year alone for children that were doing stupid things. And that just shows you what this world has come to. But remember, we have the answers to all these problems that the world is facing, and we have the answers. And that's all I have for you today, and with that, I'll turn it over to the next speaker, Deacon Tawakia Hawkins.
Shabbat Shalom, everyone. You may be seated. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. Now, in the past 2 months, there's been a lot of things that have been occurring with the missionary and the peaceful solution. We've been down to Laredo several times, Arkansas, as you've heard, but I'm going to focus on Laredo. Let's start back in the month of January 21st, 2014. We were in Laredo, and that was a city council meeting there, and they discussed something. They tabled a discussion for the municipal court judge, Judge Rosie, who is working alongside with the Peaceful Solution, and she has the Peaceful Solution in her court. They tabled a discussion for her to, instead of being voted in, she would be appointed in, because they didn't want her in that office because she is using the Peaceful Solution. That's why. Now, also, while we were there on the night of the 21st, during the city council meeting, one of the councilmen's
car, it was a brand new car, was stolen and torched. Okay, so this just shows how bad it is. And if we can play disc 5.
Of City Council member Esteban Rangel was stolen last night while he was attending the City Council meeting. But that is not where the story ends. His car was also torched. Police say they received a call around 11 o'clock last night from the 3300 block of Wormser Road, where a vehicle was engulfed in flames. There, they found the 2014 Cadillac ATS completely destroyed. A few minutes after receiving that call, Councilman Rangel called the police department to report that his vehicle had been stolen from the parking lot of City Hall. Police say on January 10th, Rangel had reported that he lost his car keys. As of now, the arson investigation is ongoing, and detectives are looking into the surveillance camera from the parking lot at...
Okay, so his car was stolen, and it was torched, and so we can obviously see that there's a problem, correct? Yes, there's a problem. So we couldn't leave it like that. We came back to Abilene on the night of the 21st, and we went back to Laredo 3 days later on a Friday, on the 24th, January 24th, and we made sure that the second thing we did was we went and talked to this councilman, Councilman Rangel, about how to eliminate theft. The only way to eliminate theft, which is using the peaceful solution. Okay? And we talked for about an hour. We thought that maybe this might be just a couple minutes. No, we talked for an hour, a whole entire hour. And he agreed, and he was very excited that there was people out there doing what is right and teaching what is right. So if we can play disc 6.
Please use, and be, I don't remember where I read it. I read it in a book when I was in college. It said something about it's okay, because a lot of people always instill on saying you need to be a leader. Mm-hmm. You know, followers aren't good, and leaders, you know, lead, always lead. And I say it's like it's okay to be a follower, mm-hmm. but if you're gonna follow good people to lead you to the right places. But if you're going to be a leader, mm-hmm. be a good leader and lead people to the right places, you know. And I always tell them that. It's like it's okay to be a follower. There's nothing wrong with it. A lot of people automatically say, it's like, are you a follower or you're a leader? Yeah, you can't be if you're a follower, you're not going to do anything. And I tell them, it's like, it's okay. It's okay. I mean, there's people that are made to be followers.
Okay, so he was talking about leadership there. Well, what rings a bell there? First thing I thought of was the peaceful solution, building moral excellence, you know, if you can see this. Page, chapter 4, page 145. Okay, and this is where it talks about leadership. And look at the last paragraph. It says, in the previous chapter, you learned about the importance of both developing and maintaining a positive character. That was chapter 3. And that talked about how to maintain a positive character. Goes on to say, did you know that in essence, you have been learning one of the most important aspects of leadership? By focusing on building a positive character, you have been practicing what is known as self-leadership. So you're leading yourself. In this chapter, chapter 4, you will learn how positive character traits are essential to becoming a leader. You will also learn through positive, effective leadership that is founded on true moral values, you can secure that the present and prepare for the future by making a difference in your life and in the lives of others. Now, one thing that I didn't have time to put in that we didn't have time to play in that video was before he said about leadership, he said that his father instilled morals. And this is before we brought up anything about morals or anything like that. So he was taught these things from a very, very young age. Okay? And he was taught that we need to be leaders and positive leaders, not just negative leaders. Okay? And also, he said many, many other things. But that's not all, because the work still is continuing. While we were at that meeting with him,
he set up for us the peaceful solution to speak at the council, which would be 2-3-14. Now, we weren't able to make it due to the weather, but the peaceful solution was represented at that meeting. You can turn over to Yakana Mark chapter 1, verse 39. It's on page 761. It says, "And he preached in their synagogues throughout all Galilee and cast out demons." Now, the word synagogues, it also means councils, and it just doesn't mean places of worship. So, we were following Yeshua's example and bringing this to the world and also to the councils. Okay? But we still need to be prepared because that's not all. The work is still growing. And so that we can be clear that this is the house of Yahweh and that this is the end that we're going through right now. If you can turn over to Yochanan Mark chapter 13 and verse 10, it's a couple pages over, page 775. It says, "But this message must first be published throughout all nations." And we know who's doing that in these last days. Yisrael Hawkins, and he is the only one who is bringing forth this message to the dying world. So with that, we need to be prepared because the end is coming, okay? The work is not done yet, okay? So be prepared, keep studying, and with that, if y'all please stand, I have the great honor and privilege to present Zebulun.
Shabbat shalom, everyone. You may be seated. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. Getting straight into my speech, I want to talk about one of the students I met with at United High School. Now, this student was in the character connection classes with the great Con Benjamin Krause at whenever she was younger. As a little child, she went to the classes with Con Benjamin, and whenever we met with her at the school, she said that that program was the best thing that's ever occurred to her. It has changed her life. And she said every opportunity she gets, she's reminding people about this program, what to do, use self-control, not to trespass, pay attention during class, stand quietly in line. And she said that the people that she's reminding is reminding others. So what came to my mind whenever she said that is how the peaceful solution says it will be a positive ripple effect. Like dropping a pebble in the water, it will ripple outwards. And whenever you go to these schools, whenever we go back to the schools that we've already been to and teach again and meet up with students that we met with before and see the difference that they're trying to make, you can't explain the joy or the excitement that comes to you whenever you see you're actually helping change someone's life for the better. And as she said that she helped, her friends and everything, and everyone, they're trying to make a difference. And as the Peace Solution says, it only takes one person to make that difference in society. Just one person to stand up. As the saying goes, stand up for what you have proven to be morally correct, even if you are the only one standing. And we are seeing people do this right now. They're standing up. They're saying, we need to make a change. What's going on in today's world is not right. And they're saying that right now. We want to make a change. So that was what really stood out to me at that school, is that there are people trying to make a change. They really want to make this world a better place. And another thing, if you could just think about the part that you're playing in the work, if it wasn't for the house of Yahweh, there wouldn't be the peaceful solution. There wouldn't be people trying to make a change. You just have the same things you see every day on the news, people getting killed because of bullying, or any other reasons, that's all you'd see. You wouldn't see no changes, anybody trying to help. And yes, there's programs out there that try to help, but the problem is they don't have the answers. They don't have the answers that can help. The only place that has the answers is here at the House of Yahweh in Abilene, Texas. Praise God. We have the answers. And whenever you talk to the teachers, they say, this program is the best program I've ever seen. They'll talk about how, whenever they implement it in their school, how the students have changed. How they're being more respectful to the teachers, to their peers, not trespassing. And they said that they can actually see a difference. And I've heard some of them say there's other programs that they tried to use, but it didn't work. It didn't. Because they ain't got the answers, like I said. They don't have the answers. But we do. And the world is seeing right now that the House of Yahweh has the answers. And we are not being slowed down. This work will continue. And everyone has a part in this work. Whether it be at the cafeteria or wherever. I actually got to bring this up. On the missionary trip, we had, it was called Macaroni and Cheese Surprise. That's what it was called. And I do not like macaroni and cheese. So, but one of the fellow representatives talked me into trying some. I got to say, that's the best stuff I ever had. That was an awesome macaroni and cheese. So everyone's playing a part in this work. No matter where you're at, you have a part in this work. So I just want everybody to remember, as 2 Timothy 2:15 says, study to show yourself approved. Get involved any way that you can. And with that, if you all please stand, I'd like to turn it over to the great Deacon Yisrael David Hawkins.
Shalom, everyone. Please be seated. I'm going to talk a little bit more about the radio show that Deacon Yaakov talked about. And that radio show, it's, you know, a morning show, and that's the radio show a lot of people, it's a really popular one that a lot of people, you know, go to work playing in their cars or whatever. So a lot of people heard us at that radio show. Now, the co-host of that radio show, Sergio Mora, some of y'all might recognize that name from a award ceremony that we held a few years back at the Laredo City Club. So, you know, he was familiar with the Peaceful Solution already, and then he invited us to that radio show. So anyway, we stayed on the air for a straight 30 minutes on that radio show without any commercial breaks or anything. That's how much they enjoyed what we were telling them. Now, they asked us to tell them, you know, quotes from the Peaceful Solution, things that we learned, how we're helping out in Laredo and the community. But what surprised them the most, and this is something that seems to resonate with a lot of people, not just, you know, the radio show people, but the councilmen that we met with, the teachers, is that they're really surprised that there are still young people out there that stand up for moral values, that respect people, that actually care for society, and aren't running around like terrorists, destroying things, or playing video games, or cussing people out, or whatever. So, you know, he's one thing he said that really rang, it was like, he said, maybe there is hope for this next generation. You know, so praise Yahweh. But what he doesn't know is it's not just 8 or 9 of us in the radio show that's going to make a difference in this generation. There's a whole team of y'all that are going to make a difference for this next generation, not just for the world, but for the whole universe. Praise Yahweh. Now, you know, something we need to remember is, you know, the kids that are running around like terrorists, destroying things or whatever, it's what they're trained to do. Like Ephraim said earlier, you know, it's because they're being taught wrong. It's not like that's just something that kids do. They'll just be kids. You know, it's what they're being taught. They're being taught to do the wrong thing, so that's what they're going to do. This system trains children, not just children, but adults too, to be murderers, malice, hatred, violence, death. And as a result of that, we see sickness and disease, we see murders, and all these things that are occurring now because of what the system is teaching. You know, we in the House of Yahweh, we are the House of Yahweh. We have the tools that, you know, make things better. We have the Peaceful Solution. So we need to teach these things to our children. You know, because that's what's going to make us the hope of this next generation. Back to the radio show, you know, what I've heard from people, and I've heard this from people, I'm not saying that this is how he is, but Jay, the main host of the radio show, I've heard that, you know, he's a really crabby person, he likes, you know, he's irritable, he likes to ask people questions that trip him up on the radio show. But honestly, when I was there, he was the most joyful, when the Peaceful Solution team was there, he was the most joyful, you know, he was joyful, he was very pleased and very pleasantly surprised, I have to say. So that's what the Peaceful Solution can do. So everyone keep studying, keep learning, keep reading your books, keep going to the classes. Because We are the hope of this next generation. And if we don't study and if we don't learn these things, then we'll fail. But you know, the tools are there available for us, and that's what I want to stress. Keep studying these things. Keep learning. Go to the classes, because that's what's going to allow us to, you know, bring peace to the universe. And then y'all get to see that galaxy that Asif was talking about. I want to see that galaxy myself. So praise Yahweh. And with that, if you'll all please stand, I'd like to turn it over to the great Deacon Samuel.
Shabbat Shalom, everyone. Praise Yahweh. You may be seated. You know, every time we see the missionary work going forth and, you know, people responding to it, we should be very excited in this work. You know, are you ready, brothers and sisters, to teach the nations? Let me ask that question one more time. Brothers and sisters, are you ready to teach these nations? Praise Yahweh. We should be very excited. You know, don't let the daily grind, you know, let us forget our goals in mind. But as you can see through the videos, you know, the children. The children are the ones that they're wanting this change. They're seeing the decline in the world. You know, they're not caught up and being numb to what they see in the video games and the worldly music and the movies. You know, they want a change. And that's one thing that I hope everyone get from the videos and the testimonies that the children are actually, you know, going forth willingly and saying about the peaceful solution and how that has helped them. But, you know, the peaceful solution, if you have a problem, the peaceful solution has the solution. Do you agree with that, brothers and sisters? You know, we ourselves have to believe that. When we go forth and teach to the nations, we have to believe that. But the peaceful solution, if you turn to Psalms chapter 119 and verse 130, found on page 485, you know, a very familiar scripture where it says, the upholding of your laws give light. They give understanding to the simple. Verse 31, when we opened our mouths and panted, for we longed for your laws. And, you know, the world not knowing it right now, but they are longing for Yahweh's laws, brothers and sisters. They are longing for it. They're longing for a solution to their problem. But they may not know it at the time, but, you know, they're longing for a solution. In verse 33, order our steps, cause us to walk with steadfastness in your law, and do not let any iniquity rule over us. And they're seeing this right now where the iniquity, the sin has reached its peak, where everywhere you go, there's sin everywhere, or is being promoted, you know, they're being influenced to do these things. And, you know, the peaceful solution, it's that stream of light. You know, we know right now that the world is in darkness. They're groping for answers. They're groping in the dark. And that peaceful solution, the peaceful solution is that glimmer of light that's shining forth. Every time the missionary work goes forth, you know, wherever it may be, it's that gleam of light that's being shined forth to this darkened world. And, you know, we know that the peaceful solution is Yahweh's laws. You know, it's that morality. It's the following of the rules, doing what's right, you know, and knowing what's right from wrong. You know, and right now the world, all they're teaching is there's that mixture of righteousness and evil. But when we go forth and teach these schools and teach, you know, whoever accepts the peaceful solution, we're teaching them righteousness. We're teaching them the laws of Yahweh. You know, one thing I want everyone to understand also is that when we go to these schools, we're teaching 1 hour sessions, you know, that'd be 45, an hour, hour 30 minutes, you know, if we're blessed, give me 2 hours. But we're having many sessions throughout the day when we teach the schools. But, you know, when we go forth and teach these things, they're experiencing it the first time. You know, we ourselves it may be repetitious to us, but when we go forth and teach these things, they're learning it for the first time. So we have to remember, you know, you get caught up sometimes where you want to cram all the things you know from the peace solution to 1 hour, but you can't, you know. We have to be able to, you know, get them to think about their situation, the situations that they may be in, and to choose what's right from wrong. And, you know, Yahweh, that through them learning this, that they'll choose the right choice. You know, but they can't, they're not going to change overnight. It's a process. We have to remember that also in our lives, that's a process. You know, so brothers and sisters, are you ready? You answered yes, right? Everyone agree? You know, because as you can see, every time we see the missionary trip, someone is coming up and helping with the work. You know, and you could be next. You know, don't think that oh, well, I might not go. You know, if you prove yourselves to be worthy, you will go. But and for my last scripture in Proverbs chapter 16, verse 3, Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 3, found on page 506, where it says, commit your works to Yahweh. Commit your works to Yahweh, and your thoughts and plans of your mind will succeed. And brothers and sisters, that's the only reason why we're succeeding right now. It's because we have Yahweh's protection. You know, if it was any other organization, it wouldn't succeed. But because we are a part of this house, we are part of Yahweh's last day's work, this work will succeed, brothers and sisters. And we have to continue to remind ourselves that each and every day. Praise Yah. If you all please stand. I have a great an honor and opportunity to present to you another great Kahan, Yahweh's house, the great Kahan Zephaniah.
Shabbat shalom, everyone. You may be seated. Well, as you heard Deacon Samuel mention there, when we do teach the Peaceful Solution, our goal is to try to get these students to think. To think about what's taking place in their life. I'd like you to turn over to Matithiah chapter 13. Matithiah chapter 13, and we're going to look at a parable of the mustard seed, because Yeshua did the same thing. He caused the people to think as he spoke to them. He actually forced them to think as he spoke. And in Matithiah chapter 13, verse 31, this is the parable of mustard seed, he presented another parable to them, saying, the kingdom of Yahweh is like a grain of a mustard seed, which a man took and planted in his field. And though it is indeed the least of all the seeds, and he gives the explanation here as well, when it is grown, it is the greatest among the herbs and becomes a tree so that the birds of the air can come and nest in its branches. And we know this is referring to the great work of Yahweh that has started very small, but will grow into the greatest work ever. The greatest work ever. Praise Yahweh. It's going to overshadow the work that Moshe did, which was a very monumental work in itself. But let's continue. Let's look at Yochanan Mark chapter 4. Yochanan Mark chapter 4, because we talked about a man here that's planting this seed. And I want you to keep that in your mind, that the seed is being planted. It's been planted for years and years. Yochanan Mark chapter 4, and look at verse 3. Again, this is another parable that Yeshua spoke, and he said, listen, behold, there was a sower who went out to sow. So this is someone planting, but not just anyone. This one has authority to do this work, given by Yahweh to do this work. Verse 14, the sower sows the word, the law and the prophets. So you see here what that seed is that's being sown. It's the message, it's the laws and the prophecies that are taught only at the house of Yahweh. And brethren, Yisrael Hawkins is that sower. He's planting that seed all over the world through the newsletters, through the prophetic words, through the Sabbath messages, through the Peaceful Solution. That seed has been planted. And it's just a matter of time until you see that sprout come forth. But those seeds are out there. Now, turn over to Isaiah chapter 55, verses 10 through 11, because there's something special about this seed. There's something very special about this seed. We know it's the word of Yahweh. It's the laws and the prophecies, but not all seed grows, but this seed does. Isaiah chapter 55, if you look at verse 10, For as the rain comes down like the snow from the sky and does not return there until it has watered the earth to make it bring forth and bud, that it might give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so is my word. Now remember, we just said that what does the sower plant? He plants the word. He plants the message. That's the seed that's being planted. So is my word, the law and the prophets, that goes forth from my mouth through the spokesman, as the scripture names the one who would do this teaching in the last days. My word will not return to me void. It's impossible for this seed not to grow. It's impossible for this kingdom not to come forth. It's as sure as the sun will set this evening and rise again in the morning, Yahweh's message will go out and it will accomplish the goal Yahweh said it would. And continuing, and it will accomplish that which I please, and it will succeed in the thing for which I sent it. And what are we talking about? We're talking about that mustard seed growing into the greatest work, into the kingdom of Yahweh, the people of Yahweh. Now, one thing to note about seeds, some seeds, and you can look this up, this comes from Wikipedia here, some seeds are dormant, and they need more time and or need to be subjected to a specific environment condition before they will germinate. Now think of the prophecies that Yahweh said our time period would be like. Now specifically talking about the mustard seed generally takes 3 to 10 days to germinate if placed under the proper conditions. And one of those conditions includes a cold atmosphere. Now, yes, we've had this cold climate, and that is what the mustard seed flourishes in. But think of what Yeshua said. The love of this world would grow cold. We have that cold atmosphere. We have that cold. It's cold with character. There's no character in this world at this time besides that which is going forth from the house of Yahweh. So this kingdom, all these seeds that are out there, that have been planted, the time is right for them to germinate, to come forth, to start sprouting, to start budding forth. And you're going to see that, as we're going to see in the scriptures, in a very short time. A short work, Yahweh described it as. In fact, one of the prophets, if you look at Habakkuk, turn over to Habakkuk, it's on page 710. Just to see the magnificence of Yahweh in Habakkuk, chapter 1 here, verse 5, he says, look among the heathen and watch, wonder with astonishment. Now, if this wasn't something spectacular, we wouldn't look with astonishment. But you can see the work that Yahweh is doing, it's going to be very astonishing. For I will work a work in your days which you would not believe it, if it were told to you. Now, one of the apostles took it a little bit further, and I'd like to look at his words also. If you turn over to Acts chapter 13, Acts chapter 13, because again, all these seeds have been planted. All the years the house of Yahweh has put forth the message. All the hard work of Yisrael Hawkins from the very first time the house of Yahweh began in putting this message out. No one else, brethren, is doing this. No one else teaches the laws of Yahweh. In Acts chapter 13, verse 41, it said, look, look, you scoffers, wonder and perish. Also saying to the scoffer, showing what the end will be. But what is a scoffer? A scoffer is one that says, you know, the work you people are doing here right now, it's all for nothing. What Yisrael Hawkins is doing, it'll never come to pass. That's a scoffer. Brethren, don't ever let anyone tell you the work of Yisrael Hawkins in the house of Yahweh, the work you're doing, is going to fail. The word of Yahweh will not return void as was promised. And let's look at 2 Corinthians. Let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 9, as it is written, he has dispersed abroad. And this is the far reaching of the message of Yahweh in these last days. It would go to all the world in this time period. It has dispersed abroad, and he has given to the poor. Brethren, there's no one poorer than someone who doesn't have the message of Yahweh, than someone who doesn't have the laws of Yahweh. That's a poor man. His righteousness remains forever. Now may he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food both multiply your seed sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness. You know, the time for Yahweh to put the finishing touches on this work is right now. Everything has been set up. All those seeds have been planted. And you'll see, as the prophet said, a quick work. Yahweh said he'd make it a short work and bring about these last remaining prophecies and the seed, the finishing of the kingdom of Yahweh. May Yahweh bless your understanding. If everyone would please stand, I'd like to turn it over to the great deacon, David Hawkins.
Shabbat shalom again. Please be seated. What you're seeing today is the culmination of a lot of work. And last time we spoke, it was mentioned that over 10,000 people had been taught in the last year through the Peaceful Solution just in the States alone, not to mention, you know, over in Africa and many other places. But let me tell you, just in the past month alone, there have been thousands taught. I mean, we've been all over the place, and when the missionary team is all over the place, the whole house of Yahweh is all over the place. It takes everybody to do this great work. Just like one of the men a moment ago spoke of the food. Well, you know, we on this next trip that you're going to see a little bit about, we learn to really appreciate the food that we have available to us here in the house of Yahweh. We'll tell you a little bit more about that later. But this next place that we went to, it's like another step out there. It's very far away. The people were extremely receptive, and I'm not going to tell you where it was at yet. But I can tell you this, that the name of the country means silver, okay? Just keep that in mind. The name of the country means silver. And these people are like kind of hung in the 80s to some degree. When you look around and the things they're doing and all, it really did make us feel like we'd step back in time to bring this message to these people. And I'll tell you what, it seems like their attitudes are back there a little bit too. We'll get into that a little bit more, but first, let's go ahead and play disc 7, please. Thank you.
lessons on how to do this for anybody that's interested in being here to help out on one of these trips and do this cleanup. There's lessons on how to do this on Thursday night in the sanctuary. Not supposed to do that, though. There we go.
Spanish rice.
What else we got there?
Lentils with peppers.
So tell us exactly what we're eating tonight.
We're eating chicken with various spices, tomato, onion, peppers, garlic, a little bit of pepper, salt, and the rice, Spanish rice I made with garlic, tomato, onion, pepper, cumin, salt, Anaheim peppers, and bell peppers, tomatoes, tomato sauce. And the lentils is just plain lentils with salt and pepper and Anaheim peppers.
Okay. All right, David. Get your bag.
Yeah, we filmed you taking it out of the stove.
Right. We have
principales y administrativos y por otros estudiantes o alumnos.
My name is Paula Salomone. I am a teacher and a coordinator here at Godrej, and we have many companies here. We are at Godrej, where the Peaceful Solution guys came to provide a workshop about leadership, about morality, and about stress management, incorporating this kind of values into the daily work. Means increasing productivity, which means increasing money, and for a business this is one important thing, and I think that it's very important for future leaders to work with these techniques and to apply this kind of morality in their tasks, yes, to have better employees and to be better leaders. So additionally, I would like to thank Mr. Ishwan Hawkins and his team for coming here to Argentina from North America, so far away, to help us teach and to present this material and this workshop to our companies in order to help them improve their productivity, improve the quality of their work.
What you put in here, all these have influences on, they go in here, and then whatever goes in here comes out of your attitude, your actions, the way you think, the way you feel, the way you act, right?
I would like to thank the Peaceful Solution for accepting my invitation to our School of Languages. We really enjoyed the talk. I would like to thank Mr. Hawkins for this program. I think it's going to be very useful, and we are really looking forward to getting all the materials that you're going to send via email. And well, we are going to tell you how things go here. Thank you very much.
Praise Yahweh. So as you can see, we went a very far distance on this last trip. And again, these people were very responsive. You're going to hear a little bit more about it. And right now, if you all please stand, I'd like to present to you the great deacon, Tobiah Hawkins.
Shabbat shalom. It's great to be here at the Great House of Yahweh. You may be seated. So as you just seen, the work of Yahweh is growing, okay? It's growing, this tree is growing, and there's more people finding out that there's a better way of life than what they've been taught. But recently we just went to the great country of Argentina, and there were seven men that went, and You know, we got there with a mindset of how things work here in the United States. You know, you just go down the store, you buy what you need, you have your phone, all these things that we use. And we got there expecting to be able to use some of those things. But when we got there, we kind of realized that they don't have cell phones there. Very few people do. Things aren't as easy to come and go and get as they are here in the United States, especially since everything was in Spanish. We couldn't read anything. We couldn't read any of the signs. We couldn't drive because we don't know where we're going. So all these things. But as we got there, they're a great country. They welcomed us, all the classes. They were excited to see us. And I think one of the things that impressed them the most is they think of the United States as way up here. You know, the United States. And they say, well, in the movies, this is the way the United States is. And they have this image of the United States as being a great country and everything's okay here. But, you know, we started explaining to them that we're having problems that y'all are not having yet. They said they've only had one school shooting. And we explained to them that, you know, we're having 20 or 30 every month. Okay? But a little information about Argentina. It was established July 9th, 1816. The population is 41.9 million. And, you know, I'd like to show you all some pictures of some things that we've seen when we were there, because the people there are very compassionate. They care about each other. They care about the people that they're around. If y'all can see this right here, this is something we've seen a lot of. There's a man sleeping right here. This is a huge building. He's sleeping here on the door. You see all the trash on the sidewalks? Okay? This is one of the cities, and you see how this is all run down right here? And see right here, there's this big old hotel. And you have all these people living in these little buildings and boxes. Okay? There's a total of, when I counted the first time, there was 8 children sleeping right there. There's about 4 of them right here in this corner, and then there's a couple laying right here. But you can see how this way of the beast isn't just here in the United States. It's throughout the world. The percentage of the population in Argentina living in poverty is 26.9% of the population of the 41 million. That's very high, okay? They don't have homes, they don't have food, they don't have all these things. But another thing that's interesting about the city we went to, Buenos Aires, is this is where Pope Francis is from, okay? This is where he was born. He was born in 1936. And he's 77 now, but he was born in this city. And the church that he led, which is this one right here, you see the big Roman-looking structure with all the gods across the top here and all the pillars. You know, we were there and we kept looking for something to, you know, what has the Christian population or the Roman Catholics done for this city? And, you know, here's 67% of the community in Argentina is Christian, Roman Catholic. And then it's broken up into the rest of them. But we kept looking around to see, and we weren't really finding anything, okay? But that's what we were there to do. We're there to solve their problems and help them get their country back in order, because Argentina is a very wealthy country. They have silver. Remember what David said earlier? You know, the name of Argentina actually comes from the word silver. They have abundance of silver. And oil and bronze and all these things. But because of the corruptness that's going on and with the money and everything, their peso means nothing. Okay? It's 10 to 1 the United States. So something that costs $10 here costs them 100 pesos there. You know, we would see food, you know, a simple pack of chips for $79. Or you go to buy a drink and it's $65 in pesos, 65 pesos. So you can see how the devalue of their dollar, it makes life really hard. We were talking to some of the cab drivers, and they were saying that they might only make, by the time they pay their cabs and all these things, they might only make 200 pesos a day. Well, that's only $20 U.S., and they still have to pay for rent. You know, they don't really own houses. It's all rent there. There's big skyscrapers, as you've seen. So you can see how they need this, okay? And they, before it was done, they were setting up classes for us to teach as we were still there teaching But I also had the privilege to go with two of the great cons down to Bahia Blanca. It's a city farther south. And we talked with a group of teachers there, and our plane had gotten messed up, so we ended up having to stay down there for 2 days. And we got down there, and when we got down there, we realized we left our translator in the other city. So we said, okay, well, let's go down to, they had a Walmart. We're like, okay, we can go in here, and we can surely find something to eat. So we go in there, and we're walking up and down the aisles. And there's three things that we figured out that were universal. That's Lay's potato chips, Oreos, and Coke. Everything was in Spanish. We couldn't read. So we said, okay, well, Yahweh provided us these three things. We're going to have Oreos for breakfast, and then we'll have some chips for lunch. And then later on that day, we found some Pringles. So we had our day planned. But we didn't let that stop us, okay? We were there to do a job. And we were going to do it whether we had food or not. The whole team did. And when we came back to the other city, the other team had a meal cooked for us there that we could eat. Just remember, okay, this is the first time that salvation is being offered in this country, okay, by the one who bears witness. As you remember, they said, you know, thank you, Israel Hawkins, for sending your team down here to show us the path to light, okay, because they're in darkness. It's very sad that we were talking to some of the teachers and they say, yeah, we have all these wonderful places we can go and we can go here and see these waterfalls. But then you walk out of the waterfall and you see children laying on the street that don't have a home, you know, and they start crying. They get emotional about it because it hurts them to see these things, but they don't know what to do. And we can show them what to do by educating them on how to act properly. But here's a picture real quick. I'll show you. This is Buenos Aires here in the background. See all the cities? And see these little sheds here? These are all where people are living. You see them? They go on way over here. Okay? And just to paint a picture in your mind of what the reality of the things that is going on throughout the countries. But remember, salvation is being offered. And, you know, this is one of the things that we were pushing while we were there. That beautiful face right there. At the end of all the slides, there's a picture of Pastor there. And they would see that picture, and it's talking about the teachers are the true leaders of the world and how important they are. And they were having their cameras out, and they were like trying to get pictures of just the screen. And they said, can we get a picture in front of the screen? And we're like, sure. That's something that they're excited about. They're excited to learn these things because they can see that now they have hope. They can make a difference. You know, before we taught the class, we asked them, you know, can you make a difference? And they were kind of like, well, you know, there's a lot of problems. We don't really think. But by the time we were done with just a simple 1 hour class, they were ready to go out and teach. They were saying, you know, are y'all going to have the books to us tonight? When are we going to get them? And we were saying, you know, put your name here and we'll get them to you. You know, we were getting to them, most of them, to that night so they could have them, so they could go out and start teaching. But they were ready to take it and they were running with it and they're going to spread it, okay? But by the time we were done, we taught 164 teachers and 49 workplace employees. Now, these are people that deal across seas and deal with companies, AT&T, Godrej. These are big companies, international companies. So a total of 213 people were given the opportunity to change their life. And they're going to, and they're taking it, and they're going to teach 213 more people. And those people are going to, and it's just going to continue to spread, okay? But get ready, because we don't have much time, okay? Brush up on your Spanish. We might be sending a group down there here soon to continue this. So I encourage you, you know, keep studying. Be ready for these things because Yahweh is fulfilling his plan in these last days. And he's asking every one of you to be a part of it. So be ready to be a part of it. You know, like one of the teachers was talking about earlier, you know, with the food. Those are things that are necessary for this work to continue. And we learned a lot while we were there. It was a very great experience to be able to see the culture and how things are done and how different it is from the United States. It's much more peaceful and quiet. You're not in a rush. No one's on their phone. They sit down. They have conversations. They communicate, things like this. And that's why we were telling them that if they take this, they can avoid what the United States has gotten themselves into. Okay, we're having these school shootings. And I believe they are. They're going to take it and they're going to run with it and they're going to teach it, okay? But I'd like to read a scripture in Matthew 24:14. And it says, "And this message of the kingdom will be preached to all the world by the one who bears witness and all to all nations, and then the end will come." Okay? This message is being preached and it's being published, and we're going out and we're teaching it, but we need your help. Remember, salvation is being offered worldwide. The house of Yahweh is coming to you, so be ready, okay? And with this, I'd like to turn it over to the great Deacon David.
Shabbat shalom again. Please be seated. I'd like to begin by just sharing a little bit more about these people with you that we were dealing with. Very beautiful people, very kind. They were very helpful in every way they could be with us. And we really did try to push that message that great Deacon Toby was talking about on how if you start now, you can avoid all the problems that the United States has gotten themselves into. Because this definitely is, this chief of the nations is the chief of the nations, not only militarily and financially, but also in sin. It definitely is. I mean, it was refreshing to some degree to step back in time, like you hear some of us talking about. The thing that these people don't understand is that, first of all, 91% of this population in the Buenos Aires area is Catholic. I saw more rosaries than I've ever seen in my life hanging off of mirrors and so forth. Every taxi driver that we got into, you saw these things, gift shops and stuff like that, and they were making money off these things. But it brought to mind when we went to the Basilica or the cathedral. When we went to several of these facilities, these Catholic facilities, which also includes all the government buildings that we went to, we noticed a few things. Like when we were inside, and I think more is going to be brought on this, but I wanted to show. Hold on just a minute. Technical difficulties. Can you see this box right here? You zoom in a little bit. This is inside the Catholic Church. You can see all this set up. It's a little area that's set aside. And throughout this whole facility in this cathedral, it's set aside. There's this one area, then you go over and there's another area, and then another one. And in each one of these, see that box right there? Each one of these, there's a dead body. Each and every one of them. And on the floor right in front of it or on the wall, there will be an inscription telling you who is laying in there. This truly is the cult of death. It brought to mind a scripture. If you'll turn to Matthew 23:27, please. And I'm not going to take much of your time. I'm going to let the priest do the preaching here. Matthew 23:27 on page 751. It says, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like whitewashed sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outwardly," which they do. I mean, there's gold and silver and all types of ornamentation and tile and lots of craftsmanship that go into these places. When you walk in, you look around, and you say, "Oh, my." But there's a creepiness there when you walk in. And when you find out that there's dead bodies everywhere, you find out why. "But inside of these places, they're full of dead men's bones and all uncleanness." And as we went through this particular facility we were in, there was even an area underneath the... let's see if I have it here. There was an area underneath the main... like throne, if you will. I think it has a specific name. But here it is right here. You can see the ornate decoration and everything there. And this is where the Pope sits when he comes. Directly underneath there was a crypt. Well, what's in a crypt? More dead men's bones, right? Thought it was very interesting, and we see that they're not bringing, all they're doing is falling deeper and deeper and deeper into sin like the United States is right now. And we didn't really want to see that occur to those people. On a lighter note, the taxi drivers that we experienced, the deacon was talking about not being able to speak Spanish and the difficulties that we ran into. It seemed like everywhere we went, we were trying to figure out, okay, where is a plug-in? If they even had a plug-in for us to plug anything into, then we had to find out if they had an adapter or if we had put the one of two that we had in our briefcase so that we could deal with this. Because again, just like here in the States, when the team goes out, we don't go out to just one place. We go out and we go to several different places at once. That's what was taking place in Argentina also. In fact, the one place that, Bahia Blanca, that was almost 300 miles away from where our base was there in Buenos Aires. So some of the same things, some of the same difficulties, but even more so. The food, I know you saw in the video, the great food that was shown there. And that's all fine, but after about 8 or 9 days of that same chicken and rice, it'll make you want something else. In fact, I think when we all got back here, all we wanted to do was get to the cafeteria and get a burger. So, we had a lot of chicken, rice, and spaghetti. So, and of course, when we got back here, one of the things on the menu, of course, was chicken. So. And we do appreciate it, and it surely does make us appreciate being here at Yahweh's house. So praise Yahweh. With that, I'm gonna cut this real short because we still got a little ways to go here and a lot of things to hear about. But I did want to mention these taxi drivers. It was amazing the amount of respect that they showed for each other and the amount of self-control that they had. Because here in the States, when someone runs into someone's lane or cuts in front of them or something, well, everyone's mad and road rage, wanting to pull over and fight and all this stuff. That didn't occur there. These people, there could be 8 lanes, which when they were done, turned it into like 12 lanes because these guys were all over the place. I think we have some video of it somewhere, but they were in and out and back and forth. And we asked them a few times, like, how do y'all know what you're doing here and driving? You're coming up to a crossroad and they just zoom on through. There's no stop signs or anything. And it really, they let the person that gets there first, they let them go first. And also, if you're going along and someone gets there first by cutting in front of you, you let the person go first. It's amazing how they practiced self-control in that respect. So anyways, there's a lot more to share about this and not near enough time. And what I'm going to do now is go ahead and it's a great honor and privilege, if you'll all please stand, to turn this over to the great Kahan Tobiah Hawkins.
Hey, Joe, you might all be seated. And what David was talking about, the taxi drivers, I really wanted to rent a car down there and go drive with them. It looked, like you said, the way they were driving, there was no lines, there was nothing. It's like no rules down there, just drive. So it was pretty exciting to watch them. Okay, I'd like to tell you a little bit about Buenos Aires. It is the capital of Argentina. The population is 2.9 million people, and they do have a port down there, and it's one of the busiest ports in South America, and they do a lot of trading, exporting with agriculture, with their products. And when we were talking to one of the cab guys, they were talking how wide the river was, and I got a picture here. If you can see it, how wide it is. Just to give you an example, the width at the beginning up here where the purple is, it's 2 kilometers, which is 1.2 miles at the inner part. And the widest point down here where it dumps into the Atlantic is 220 kilometers, which is 140 miles at the mouth. Just to give you an idea, the Mississippi, the widest point at the base of the Mississippi when it enters, does anybody know how wide it is? 1 mile. Just to give you an idea. So, you know, they do have that over us. So, and he pointed that out to us. So, he goes, Mississippi, small. That's how we talk down there. You do a lot of hand gestures to be able to speak to them when we don't have our translator. And so it was a very exciting trip, and a lot of you try a lot of different new things. The fruit, we ate a lot of fruit. I don't think that was mentioned. And avocados is one thing that I tried that I've never tried before. So that was new. So praise Yahweh. Oh. Yeah, that man right there wanted me to try it the other day. So before. If you all turn over to Revelations, page 973. Revelations 3:8. It says, "And I know your work. Behold, I have set before you an open door, and no man can shut it. For you have little strength, and I have kept my word, and I have not denied, and you have not denied my name." When we were going down there, there was a person down there that put all this together, set up all the meetings that we went to, the schools, the colleges, the businesses. She set all this up for us. And what it did is it opened up more doors that I'll get into later. The first one is Godridge, which is they deal in hair products. Their main office is in India, and they service 5 million people. Okay, so this is like a satellite of the main office in Argentina and Beres. So they have to communicate, and the biggest part of their business, they're 8 hours different. So when India, the main office is done, Buenos Aires office is just starting. And there was a lot of time difference and a lot of stress because they weren't getting their emails read and answered in a timely manner. So we went down there and helped them with stress-related things. There was also they were dealing with a lot of inner office between the factory workers and office people when the product wasn't going out. And it was just funny, the teacher that you saw, Paula, she was, one guy was explaining what the problems were, and he was saying, well, there's fighting between us. And she said, well, not fighting. You know, she was trying to say another word, you know, just like arguing or just, he said, no, fighting. So he knew what was going on, but she thought he was using the wrong word because they do speak. They think that class that we were teaching, they had 3 years of English class under their belts, as far as they go to a class every once a week to learn how to speak English so they can talk to English speaking nations. So the classes were an hour and a half long, and afterwards a lot of them stayed and talked to us. I think it was one of the clips that you were seeing. They were very interested in their attitude towards the speaker was very different, as far as you had all their eyes on you all the time. It's like they have the respect for a speaker is there. I noticed that a lot. So it was a little bit different being up there and having all the eyes on you while you're giving your lesson. So. So back to opening doors, the people at Godridge, they contacted other companies. And one of the companies they contacted, because they were so excited for us being there and the Peaceful Solution, they contacted AT&T over there. Same AT&T that we have here, okay, the company. So we were able to go to them on Friday. They opened the door they actually wanted us to, they knew someone over there. So we went over there on Friday and taught the same program about stress relate, being dealing with stress in the workplace. And it was the same atmosphere. It was a small class. It was mostly the leaders, the team leaders of that AT&T, and they were running across the same thing, dealing with overseas situations. It was the same situation and how they can deal with those things. And I asked them a question. I said, what are some of the problems that they encounter? And most of the, you know, time management, stress, deadlines, and a lot of that stuff, you know, we went over in the class. And if they use it, like some of the future priests said, if you use this program, it will help. But if you don't, you're not going to see any benefits. You're not going to see the change. So let's turn over to Romans real quick on 881. Romans 10:15. This is, how can they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the message of peace, which brings glad tidings and righteous things. So we've got to remember that when we go out and bring this message, what the benefit is, what the righteous things that are going to take place of this. In your works, the people that were here, that, and how important that the whole group, not just the group that went, but the group that was back here, from everybody that helped in this, that took over businesses that I left, you know, you guys play a big part in this. So I give you all a hand, okay? So everybody that was, you are part of the team, and I thank you, okay? So at this time, I'll turn it over to the great Kananya Hawkins.
Shabbat shalom. Praise y'all. You may be seated. After being in Latin America for 10 days, I think I pretty much got down the Spanish-speaking language. No, I'm going to go ahead and introduce with this. Shalom santos de Yahweh. Que la paz de Yahweh esté con todos y cada una de ustedes. All right. How'd that work for my Spanish-speaking brother? Shalom, saints of Yahweh. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. Definitely a very interesting, a very joyful, a very active trip. I can only imagine how things are going to increase as we travel to different places throughout the world. And as you saw the very first thing today, travel to different places throughout the universe. One thing that's interesting, and I want to kind of hurry up here because we don't have much time, is the environment, the atmosphere. You can tell in that particular area of South America, of course, you have a landmass of, which is the eighth largest in the world, in fact, as far as landmass, not population, but the eighth largest landmass in the world. It's second in size in the South American part of the area to Brazil, okay? But you notice that as large as the area of land, you have a small amount of people in comparison to like place like the United States, but they're kind of concentrated in that one area, as was said, the capital of Buenos Aires. And in the capital federal there, which is kind of the main city, like the District of Columbia, you have almost 3 million people. And then that entire province of Buenos Aires there, you have approximately 13, almost 14 million people. So you have like 40% of the people in that entire country kind of all focused in one particular area. But one thing I did notice when we got down there that I've been kind of, and it's not just me, everyone that I talked to of our crew that traveled down there within the day, all the went away. You know, I don't know what it is about the air and everything being a little bit, maybe a little bit, the microorganisms can do their job a little bit better in that particular area because the sin has not reached its peak. As you heard one of the speakers say,
they're a little bit behind when it comes to certain technological advances and the sin that we see taking place in the United States. Not that there's no sin down there. There's sin all over the world. Yeah, the prophecies, the scripture says that sin is covering the entire world right now. And that was an area where 91% of the people are Catholic. So 91% of the people are being taught by their main organization there to sin. But for some reason, it just, you know, Buenos Aires means, it's supposed to mean good air or fair winds. At least that part did live up to its name. Let's look to Luke. We're going to kind of rush through these scriptures because I don't want to take too much of your time. Otherwise, we'll get into supper. Just bypass dinner. Let's see, Luke chapter 10. Because what I want to do, you know, you've heard the testimonies. You've heard the work that's been going on. You've heard what we've done in the States and in Buenos Aires, and it's just a piece of the pie, a small piece of the pie of the work as a whole that's going on right now throughout all of the world, especially online. We reach a lot of people, a lot of countries online through Skype. But Luke chapter 10, in verse 1 through 3, it says, After these things, Yeshua ordained 70 others also and sent them two by two to go before him into every city and place where he intended himself intended to go. Therefore, he said to them, the harvest is truly great. And that's what we're seeing when we go out there. You know, the harvest, the desire, the yearning of people they want peace. They want a solution, but they just don't have all the information as to how to go about it. And that's where we come in, taking with us the message of peace as taught to us by the teacher of peace, Israel Hawkins. We take Israel with us wherever we go. But the laborers are few, so pray that the owner of the harvest sends out laborers into his harvest. Go your ways. Behold, I send you out like lambs amongst the wolves. Look to Exodus chapter 18. And I just want you to keep this in mind as we read these few scriptures here, because back in 2000, 2001, we started a series, a program of, if I'm not mistaken, I believe it was around 2000, 2001 somewhere, of the Teachers of Righteousness. Everybody remember that? Teachers of Righteousness, Seeds of Israel, Learning to Prophesy. And all those things were preparing us, and it didn't stop right there. I mean, we had that series and the workshops and things like that continuing on from there. But Pastor really started hitting hard on that because the whole purpose of what we're here for is to train to be teachers. As Pastor said in the song, we've got to have teachers, which came from a sermon. And that's what the desire is, that everybody in the house of Yahweh become a teacher. Now look at verse Exodus chapter 18 and verse 19, because these were instructions given to Moshe. He says, listen now to me, Exodus 18, verse 19, and I will give you sound advice. May Yahweh be with you, and you must be the people's representative. Look at verse 20. And you shall teach them the ordinances and the laws and show them the way in which they must walk and the work that they must do. Now, that's what we've been receiving here for the last how many years in the house of Yahweh? Since our calling in the house of Yahweh, we've been shown the work that we must do and how to go about accomplishing that task so that to bring about the end result of Yahweh making mankind in his image. Moreover, you shall select from all the people, able men, such as reverence Yahweh, men of truth, hating covetousness, and so forth. And look at verse 22. And let them judge the people at all times, but have them bring every difficult case to you. The simple cases they can decide themselves. And this was the instructions that was given to Moshe. So we see here the pattern has always been to train teachers. And Moshe was the first one that was trained, and then take that knowledge that he has, just like we see in the prophecy of the spirit that is upon the witness, he's going to put upon his seed, and then we're going to take that spirit or that character, which comes through the teaching and the education of the laws of Yahweh, and take it out and teach the nations. And they're going to, their hearts and their minds are going to turn, and we're going to see that Isaiah chapter 2:2 and Micaiah 4:1 come to pass, as we are seeing it come to pass right now. Now, Just on a quick note here, of course, you heard a little bit about Argentina. It means a land of silver, and as I said, it's the second largest country in South America, that's second to Brazil. Brazil has like five times the people of Argentina. They have about almost 200 million people there. They're really growing and trying to make themselves a superpower. Buenos Aires, I told you what that meant, good air or fair winds. It is the capital and the largest city in Argentina. Now, Recoleta, which is a district that we stayed in when we stayed, for our stay and our visit and training and so forth, it is it's a Spanish name, Latin American name, and it actually means quiet, silent, peaceful, tranquil, and still. Now, the address that we stayed at is 2372, and it's from the Hebrew word kazah, and it means to gaze mentally, perceive, contemplate, specifically to have a vision of, behold, look, prophesy, provide, and see. And everybody remembers the old speech classes, how we used to kind of put everything together at the end of all the speeches. You remember how we used to do that? I don't know if we still do that anymore. But this is kind of what I put together here. Yahweh sent his ministers to prophesy, which prophecy, remember, it's not standing up and, oh, thou, thou, behold. You know, it's teaching. Teaching people the laws of Yahweh and what the outcome of their activities will bring. Yahweh sent his ministers to prophesy to the people of Yahweh's peaceful solution, which will purify them like silver, refining them, that is their character, for Yahweh's use. And that's what we went there to do, to teach Yahweh's great peaceful solution and prepare these people because they're coming. You know, they're ready to come to be used by Yahweh to be teachers of peace as well. But remember, even though it's a land of silver, we are the ones who have the gold coming forth from the witness. Praise Yahweh. And I leave you with, I'm going to try this again without twisting my lips here. I leave you with, que Yahweh bendiga su comprensión. May Yahweh bless your understanding. If you all please stand, I now turn it over to the great Ron Benjamin.
Shabbat shalom, saints of Yahweh. You may be seated. I'm not going to talk too much about Argentina. I got a little something else I got to bring, but I do want to mention this. This is something that, oh, by the way, may the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. I knew this was going to be a really great trip when we got on the plane and I seen the American Airlines Boeing jet we were flying on was a 777, of all things, right? Must be a coincidence. Another one of my great memories of Argentina was, that was my, they do have cornflakes. And that 7-Up and cornflakes got me through a couple days down there, along with the Oreos. I have not had Oreos since. I used to love Oreos, but I'm going to leave them alone for a while. Okay, so I got to switch gears here off of the beautiful country of Argentina and go back to something that was brought a little while ago about Judge Rosie and the persecution she's receiving and is receiving at this time. But let's go to Philippians 1:12 real quick. It's on page 921, Philippians 1, verse 12. He says, but I want you to understand, brothers, that the things that have befallen me have actually turned out for the furtherance of the message. In other words, persecution comes. At first, when we see it, we're thinking, oh no, you know, we think negatively about things. But really, the persecution, if she wasn't receiving it, we wouldn't have been able to present this to the city council. I'm going to show you how this works. So remember, persecution is for our benefit. Now, on 118, as soon as we got done with the last presentation about the hand of Yahweh, I got a text message from Judge Rosie, as literally as I was stepping off the stage. And she said, she told me there was an ordinance that was being introduced by a particular council member to make it to where they could no longer vote for municipal judge, but that the city council would appoint their own judge. And she said, what do you think about this? And of course, I called Pastor and I let him know what was going on. She was actually praying for our help. Remember, the house of Yahweh is a house of prayer. And she came to us to figure out what is the solution to this problem. I called Pastor, and Pastor said, like he did in the Starship Enterprise, break out the big one. Bring out the big ones. Now, if you would, now, we started using, now, the meeting that was going to take place, this was on February 18th. The meeting was scheduled for the 21st, and the 20th was Martin Luther King Day, which was a holiday, so we had to work very fast and galvanize all we could to help Judge Rosie. So, we used Facebook, we used the radio, we used all the social media we could to get the message out of what was taking place in the city, that the people's right to choose was being taken from them, or it was proposed to take it from them. So we started galvanizing all the resources we could to get that message out. And at this time, could you play clip one from disc number 8, please?
Good evening, everyone, and thanks for watching KGNS News at 6. I'm Tim Gutierrez.
And I'm Ann Hintera. One position that has always been decided by voters in Laredo is that of municipal court judge.
But as KGNS News reporter Valerie Bragg explains, that position could be taken out of your hands and put into the hands of the city.
Well, Tim, this potential change is stirring up some controversy in Laredo, enough that a group has formed to fight the change. William Krause has lived in Laredo since 2004. He says he can't understand why city council members would want to appoint the municipal judge.
Well, why is this necessary? What would be the underlying motive of wanting to appoint city council appointing our judges? We think it's a terrible idea, and there's a lot of people in our community that are ready to stand up and say, we need to know why, and they're going to be demanding answers.
Krause has many concerns, but one of the biggest questions he wants answered is why the city is doing this now.
Why is this, or there a problem with the people deciding who their municipal court judge is going to be?
Rosie Cuellar currently is the municipal court judge. She says the city council is within the law to appoint the judge, but as a taxpayer, she is against it.
You know, this is a court where most citizens at one point or another come to municipal court to visit for whatever reason, but this is a court of the people, and I truly believe in the ideals of democracy, and this is a court that should be represented, you know, by the people.
Many cities throughout Texas, like San Antonio and McAllen, do appoint the municipal court judge. Laredo Councilman Jorge Vera is the one that requested the item. We spoke to him on Friday about why he thinks council should be in charge of that position.
It alleviates a lot of the campaigning and, of course, all the political pressure that they have. And we've seen, of course, them concentrating more and our buckets moving a lot faster.
Well, the item will be discussed during tonight's city council meeting coming up at 10, what people who showed up to oppose the move had to say and what the council decided. Ann and Tim?
Okay, so now notice what he said, that he said that he wanted to alleviate the political pressure. Now, come on now. If you have a city council that's appointing judges, isn't there going to be some political pressure on that individual? So we knew that that wasn't really the reason, but, you know, so anyway, on 1/21, January 21st, they held the meeting to bring up this issue of and it was Councilman Vera who brought up the issue for discussion. Now, I want to show you the next clip to show you the outcome of that meeting. Now, that was the 6 o'clock news, the top story on 1/21. Because we were trying to get the word out so everybody could show up at that meeting in support of Judge Rosie. At this time, let's play clip 2.
At tonight's city council meeting, the city of Laredo had plans to discuss making the municipal court judge position an appointed one and no longer letting the community vote on it.
Well, some people showed up in protest to the idea, and KGNS News reporter James Johnson joins us with more on that. James.
Thanks, Ann and Tim. People from the community, including Judge Rosie Cuellar, attended tonight's council meeting to voice their concerns on how future judges will get the job.
The council chambers were busy as members of the community came out to hear the council's decision on making the municipal court judge position an appointed one and no longer one the community would vote on. Chris Heiler is with the group Peaceful Solutions and says this is about people's right to vote.
Well, we're coming to support not only the office of judge of the municipal court, but also the citizens of Laredo. We feel that people have a right to vote, and for most citizens here in Laredo, that may be the only statement they get to make in their community.
Councilmember Jorge Vera is the one who put the item up for discussion, but says it has nothing to do with the current judge, Rosie Cuellar's, performance. He feels Laredo has grown, and it's time for change.
I put it in the agenda for me to give the opportunity for the citizens of Laredo to choose, because it is our voters' right to make referendums to the charter. We're only a handful of cities of our size that have elections.
Judge Rosie Cuellar was in attendance as well, and once the agenda was presented, everyone, including her, learned the position's fate.
Ensure that we disseminate the proper information. It's something that Legal and myself are working with other cities to get us the proper information. I would like to make a motion to table this item.
Second.
Until further notice.
I'd like to table this item.
The item
remember
is tabled
that.
Until the council gets more information on whether or not this will help or hurt the city of Laredo.
How does that make you feel?
Well, I feel it's a small victory. However, I do feel that that this item should be truly carefully reviewed.
Now, the item was tabled tonight, but you can expect the council to discuss it possibly at the next meeting. Ultimately, it's up to the voters on whether or not this change will happen. Ann and Tim, back to you.
Okay, so now they decided, because let me tell you why they decided. They saw a whole crowd of people, including the team from the Peaceful Solution, out in the hallway, ready to oppose, ready to speak against this item. So they chose to table this thing. Now, well, let me show you a couple of words here. 121 was the date that this took place. And it's the word Adam, the Hebrew word Adam, and it's from 120, as you can see. You go to 120, and it means ruddy, and it's from 119. Rosie. Now, what would be the odds of that one? To turn red in the face, dyed, made red, ruddy, rosy, as in Rosie Cuellar? Now, they decided at that meeting, with a little help from our friends, that they were going to table that. If for any of you that know about, if you read Robert's Rules of, can't remember, Robert's Rules of Procedure, to lay something on the table or to table an item, it means the object of this motion to table is to lay aside the pending question. Lay it aside for a time to discuss further or whatever. Let's look at Strong's Greek 121. It's the word athous, and it means a penalty, not guilty, innocent. And it's from word number 5087, as you can see I have circled. And it means to lay aside. To lay aside the very thing that the councilman proposed to do. Now, we don't make these things up. You know, Yahweh has a perfect plan. And I'm going to tell you, Judge Rosie was so thankful that the Peaceful Solution team came down. And I'm telling you, she called Israel Hawkins that night. She was so joyful. She spent at least 2 hours in the lobby with us afterwards, talking and talking to everyone on the team. And she just really, it was really a joyful time. And like she said, it's a small victory, but watch how Yahweh works, because it goes further than this. So it was tabled. And remember, I hope you didn't have any animosity against that gentleman that brought this. Remember, persecution is for the furtherance of the message. Now, at the meeting, the mayor pro tem, Mr. Ron Hell, the council member Ron Hell, who's a member, he represents my district, District 2. He had his car stolen that night from the very parking lot where the meeting was taking place. And you saw the video where his car was torched, even. So, remember, look for open doors. Know where the open doors are. Yahweh's, these things are occurring to give us an open door. So we wanted to present him the solution to theft. We went to him. He was so taken by what he saw that we were doing in our community for all these years. And the children, he just loved them. I'm telling you, he followed us out to the bus. We thought he was going to get on the bus. He wanted to get on the bus with us and come with us where we were going. He was so taken by what he saw. He said, you know, we've got to bring this to the next council meeting to show them what you're doing. And remember on the news clip, they say, well, this might be discussed at the next council meeting. No, we were discussed at the next council meeting. So they put us on the agenda for February 3rd, 2014, which there's only two meetings a month in city council, the first and last Mondays of the month. And February 3rd was a Monday. So that was 2-3-14. Now, remember something else that took place on 2-3-14 a year ago? The golden sign? February 3rd at 6:49 p.m. You remember that? Which was actually the 4th, because after sundown. And that the 4th of February, remember, the establishment of the House of Yahweh in these last days. This meeting took place on February 3rd. But went into February 4th because it was in the evening time. Now, let me tie some more things in here. So the meeting was set up. We were put on the agenda for 2-3-14. But when we spoke to Councilman Ron Hill, when the boys all came, we all spoke to him prior to the meeting. He goes, do you have any witnesses that could actually come forward and tell us, like, at the meeting, like, how the Peaceful Solutions helped them over the years and how it's followed them all these years? And I thought, well, yeah, there's a lot of people, but, you know, sometimes you got to go shake the bushes and find them. Well, that same afternoon, we went to United High School. Well, Yahweh delivered them into our hands. And at this time, I want to show you the next clip to show you one of the young ladies that was delivered into our hands. Council meeting.
Okay, well, my name is Catherine Flores. I am currently 16 and I go to United High School. I was in the program back in 2007 and I was only 9 years old. I went in with my mother and I, and Mr. Cruz has taught us a lot about the Peaceful Solution. It has helped me a lot over the years, and it helps me prevent bullying and help others and my fellow peers. I feel that it's important to go on with the Peaceful Solution, not only with adults and with children as well. I feel that it's important that us students, young teachers, should spread the word and go ahead and teach the Peaceful Solution. The Peaceful Solution has helped me in a lot of ways. It has kept me from drugs. It has kept me away from violence, a lot of things. It pretty much made me who I am today. Straight A student, good. My classes, I'm very well. I'm intelligent. I love what I do. I love to go around and spread the word about the Peaceful Solution. What else?
Now watch your response.
What area do you live in?
Mines Road.
We're going to open their recreation center, and I believe that this type of program, and I think I need to talk to Parks and Rec, Anita Stanley, and of course, because I think these are the type of programs we're looking to have, especially in our rec centers, where we can start teaching some of these kids, like you just said, you know, keep you out of trouble. I think it's admirable, but I think we need to have our recreation centers available and start scheduling some of these meetings. So I strongly believe what you said, that we need to have them after school and to reach more youth. I think that's what we need to do. Like I said, I think I've seen you in the Mines Road area. That's what I was asking. I think with that rec center, that's one of the greatest tools those rec centers provide, is programs such as this and having mentors such as you, a testament that these type of programs do work. So I would like to invite you to get with our Parks and Rec and start scheduling that we start working in the Mines Road area. And of course, I'm pretty sure that the other council members feel the same way, that these type of programs have to be available and accessible to all youths. Not only that, also their parents. We're going to be talking about synthetic drugs and K2, and this works hand in hand because everything starts at home and with the individual, and that's the only way we're going to beat some of this drugs, because we, no matter how we band it, they're going to still try to get their hands on it. But right. I think, you know, I really want you to start working on the mind Mines Road and use my rec center as your tool.
Thank you. Peaceful Solutions was on hand to discuss the issue of bullying in schools and to raise awareness about people with anger issues. The organization is trying to spear the message and make schools aware of the issue and to let students know that there is a peaceful solution around these issues.
We're nobody to judge. We're just here to help them a little bit to make the right choices. Just to stop, think, explore your options, and then proceed with your actions. You don't want to do something you'll regret later on.
City Council members said they will be contacting the organization to support the organization in their work.
Yes. Now, I got to tell you, after that meeting, if I can show the monitor here, this councilman was so impressed by these two young ladies that spoke. And now, what would be the odds of this? This young lady here, Catherine, whom Yahweh delivered into our hands at United High School that day, she came up to me and she goes, "You remember me?" And I'm like, the face looked the same, but the body was a little bigger. And I couldn't remember the name, but she reminded me, and I was just like, yes. And she was, from there, she just wanted to help. She wanted to do something to get involved again. And she said, my mother, who was sent by CPS all those years ago, still just talked about the peaceful solution and how it helped her change her life and her family's life. So, you know, don't forget, the things you're teaching now, they follow years later. We heard that before. So, after the meeting, Councilman Vera spent 2 hours with us talking, and he gave her one of their honorary buttons there. And here he is with the peaceful solution, promoting the peaceful solution. And now, the very next day, I'm sitting in my office, and my phone rings, and lo and behold, the director of the Parks and Rec Department called and said, how can we get this implemented citywide? Let's have a meeting. So the persecution is for the furtherance of the work. Now, that meeting took place on 2-3-14. 2-3-14. Let me show you in Strong's 23-14, okay? And it means to enter private chambers. Private chambers. Where they held their city council meetings. It's called what? City Council Chambers. And at that meeting, 10 years of the peaceful solution work that we have all done as a group, as a body, here in Abilene, Texas, all working hand in hand with our great overseer, Israel Hawkins, was presented to them. The team here could not come down because they got iced in up here, but they made a video testimony to send down where one of the future priests did a thing on the STOP acronym. And Ilya Heiler got to speak as a representative of the Peaceful Solution and showing them all the work that we've been doing kind of in a 5-minute video, which we hope to show you someday. Now, if you would like to watch that whole meeting, you can go to the City of Laredo website. It's at www.ci.laredo.tx.us. And you can go to Agenda and Minutes. There's a little thing you click on. And just click on the meeting from 2-3 and click item number 13 and you will see our presentation. Now, one other thing I want to say before I close is Mayor Raul Salinas was not there that night. And I was so thankful because I was joking the whole time, thinking, I hope he doesn't show up, because guess who's Mayor Pro Tem when he's not there? The man that invited us. So instead of only getting 5 or 10 minutes, we got 35 minutes. Uninterrupted. It was awesome. And Yahweh can do this. Yahweh's doing this work. Please stay in touch with Abilene, everyone in the outlying areas. Everybody, let's continue to work hard. Keep studying. You may be called at any moment. And with that, may Yahweh bless your understanding. I'd like to turn it over now to the great Kohan Ilya Hawkins.
Praise Yahweh. Everyone may be seated.
continuing along with what everyone has brought as a team for the Peaceful Solution Character Education Program, and like the great Contovia said, it takes everyone here working together. Everyone here working together. And it takes a lot of time, a lot of effort, and a lot of energy, a lot of laying down your life to serve people who you've never met, but the willingness to want to serve people who may hate you today, but they'll learn to love you in the near future. We want to go back to speak about the cathedral, which was known as the Buenos Aires Metropolitan Cathedral. Many people may not know that many people here should know that they lost their cardinal a year ago. And today they ordained a new cardinal for that cathedral, but they lost their cardinal a year ago. There they called him Cardinal Jorge Mario Bergoglio. Today they call him Papa Francisco. That was where the Pope came from. That is where Pope Francis came from. That was his cathedral that he was the bishop of. And he was running the show in that cathedral. When we went into that cathedral, the one thing that we noticed more than anything, and we were there for a while, and we were the only ones that were not, I don't mean to disgust anyone, but we were the only ones that were not kissing and licking on the statues. And we're going to show you some of the statues that were in there in a short clip. It was very obvious that we were not there to do anything but take photographs. It was kind of heartbreaking, though, because we were there for about an hour, and there were many people in the pews all praying and crying. The people there, the hardships that they see, it became very obvious as Americans when we went there, we've seen nothing like they go through. Absolutely nothing. When we went there, we learned very quickly the American dollar, just remember, the American dollar just back in 2000 was equal to the Argentinian peso. So everything was pretty much equal. Today, if someone from Argentina was to come to America with 1,000 peso, the United States would exchange it for $76. That's what their money's worth. If you were to make $50 in the United States, it's all you got was $50 a week. In Argentina, it would be like getting $650. There were many people there, homeless families. In front of the Congress building, there was a man, his wife, and two children, and it was obvious they were living there, and the tree area was obviously the bathroom. People walking by, thousands of people everywhere. This city is huge. It reminds you of Washington, D.C., with the magnitude of people that are in it. People just walking by. Not a care in the world, you know, as far as what's going on there. Now, keep in mind, their beloved Pope, he said he's going to help the poor. He's going to help make a difference. In fact, he said when he became Pope that the poor would be his focus. That would be his goal, to help the poor. If you go into the store, you know, Deacon Tovia spoke about it, a loaf of bread was $55. $55. The one thing that amazed me was everyone was always outside, and they had huge parks there. The parks were enormous, and the parks were full. And it was, well, I wonder why they're not watching TV. It seems like they'd want to escape the misery, until we walked into Walmart and seen a TV was $29,495. They can't afford to watch TV, and that's a blessing. That's a benefit to them. The one thing that you can see that these people have been taken advantage of and has come down through the way that the popes, the Catholic Church has always ran an organization, these people are ruled by force. You would be amazed when you pulled out an American dollar how much that persuaded them tremendously, because American dollars are valuable to them. They're like gold. They go up and down in value. We were walking down the streets and you would hear people going, they were saying, Cambodil, 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 Cambodil. They were wanting to exchange their money. They wanted American dollars. Some people would give you 10, some 11, some 12, some 13. They were taking that money and then they were trading it in Venezuela where they could get 20. But these people were working extremely hard for what we would here in America wouldn't even pick up off the ground. You'd see a dime or a penny on the ground, those people would pick it up. Because that was life to them. If we could go ahead and play the last disc. This is inside the cathedral. I'm just going to kind of narrate as we walk through. This is in what they call the Plaza de Mayo. It's right there where also their White House, which is a pink house. This is a man who was praying. And, of course, he's praying. That is a dead body in the, they call it a sarcophagus there. That's a dead body in that little marble box. And each one of them are different. We noticed they had the Savior dressed in orange. In just about every picture, they had him dressed in orange. In front of every box, marble, sarcophagus, you see there, notice the top part and then the bottom part. You see how filthy the legs are? I thought that that was a painting until I went up and I realized it was body oil and people were literally licking and kissing the feet of that statue while we were there. And you could take a paper clip and you could scrape through it. It was so thick with filth. But once again, you notice the high priest. Of course, we call them popes today. And here's one of the cardinals. Of course, that's his headstone that was in front of the marble sarcophagus that he's buried in. That is where he's buried. And of course, that was where they would come and they would offer their prayers, praying to the dead. Just like Isaiah 65:4 says, they made memorials to the dead and they prayed to the dead. And everything there was dedicated to the dead. Everything was dedicated to a statue, to a memory. But these people, if you could have just seen the grief they had, the prayers, the continual prayers, and this hope that they've been told that if they come in and they do these things, that they will be blessed, that God will see them, cry out to Mary, and she will persuade him. And they're living in total misery, total misery. Once again, there is supposed to be the Savior, and he's, of course, being tried, dressed in orange. Now, remember the ridicule that we suffered when we put that in a prophetic word, where the Savior was in orange. Well, the house of Yahweh, and they went back and they've changed, they're changing things, they photoshopped this. Those pictures that you're seeing are over 200 years old. So they've been there for a while. I want you to turn over real quick to Mark chapter 5. And think about what Yahshua went through, the things he's seen back in his day. Yachanah Mark chapter 5, and what he did. In chapter 5 and verse 2, of course, we're going to start, and it says, when he came out of the boat, and that's speaking of Yahshua, he was immediately met by a man with an unclean spirit. And he was coming from where? He was coming from the tombs. He was worshiping the dead. He was there where people were buried. The man came out from the tombs. Look down to verse 5. It said, and always, night and day, he was on the mountains, of course, the high places, or among the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. It reminded me, I thought of that scripture, watching the people suffering. Literally suffering and begging and crying and begging and crying. And they were still there when we left, many of them. The only light in that church was burning to represent one of the dead people. They had an eternal flame that was lit to represent a soldier who they had. His sarcophagus was actually was about 27 foot high. But what did Yahshua do with this man? Did he just turn and walk away from him? No, remember, Yahshua actually healed this man. He healed him. He removed the unclean spirits from him. And then he told him to go back to his house. He didn't tell him to go back to the tombs. He told him, go back to your house. And of course, the man left and he told everyone of this great work. He told everyone of the work that Yahshua had done in removing the unclean spirits from him. He didn't say, go back to the tombs and pray to the dead. No, Yahshua seen the problem. He seen what was there. He didn't avoid him. He didn't go around him. He answered his prayer. And remember what the light is in these last days. We all know, we should know hand in hand, everybody should have Isaiah 49:6 down, remember it forward, backwards, that Yisrael Hawkins is the light to this dying world. He is the only light to this dying world. He is the only one that was born in the midst of the Dust Bowl, which prophecy said that his mother would flee in the midst of darkness in 1934. He's the only one that has a brother who subscribed his name as Jacob, and of course, pastor would change his name with Yisrael. He's the only one that from the date of birth has this technology grown. He is the only one. As we went down there, turn over to Yochanan very quickly. Yochanan chapter 3. as we went down there, the one thing that you've seen was these people, as has been mentioned many times, they were very laid back. In fact, the whole surroundings there, when you got there, you just, you know, you felt kind of like you were in a rush to go nowhere, so why do it? Everyone there was laid back. But one thing that we found out very quickly, credit, you don't have credit down there. You either pay for it and you get it or you don't get it. They won't issue credit because jobs aren't guaranteed down there at all. But these people were very peaceful. But look over to verse 19. Verse 19, it says, "Now this is the condemnation, that light comes into the world, but men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil." Now, all of these people they're praying to, of course, they had a position just like Pope Francis and the cardinals and the bishops and the lesser of the ones who are in rulership at that church. But all of these men live in darkness. It's coming out about the child molestation taking place in these churches. Much of it taking place. Well, this is done by these men that they're praying to. They were pedophiles. They were sodomites. "For everyone who practices evil hates the light. For everyone who does not want to follow Yahweh's way, they will hate Yisrael Hawkins." If you hear a person speak against Yahweh's anointed, you see someone who doesn't want their sins revealed. They want them covered. If we speak against Yisrael Hawkins, it's obvious we have sin. We want to hide it. "And of course, they neither come to the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed. But he who practices truth comes to the light, so that it may be plainly see that his deeds have been done through Yahweh." Everyone who comes to this house, who partakes of this work, who puts their hands to this plow, who wants to do this work, will sit at the feet of the seventh Malach, the only seventh Malach, Yisrael Abel Hawkins, to do this work. And we'll do it hand in hand. Deacon Toby mentioned there were 164 teachers that signed up. Now, they signed up for training. These people were offered classes 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We need many people here because we're going to go back to this country through computers. We're going to teach these classes from Able. We need people. Praise Yahweh. There are many countries calling out for this right now. Many, many countries. There's a lot of countries between the United States and Argentina, and we don't need to leave any of those countries out either. These countries have to be taught. They want to be taught. These teachers that we taught, some of them were crying with tears because they were so thankful that we came. They never thought that we would come do these things. And it is we. We should all get in the practice. If we want to say, "I," do that when you do your confession. "I did this, I did that." Most of the time we'll say, "we" or "he" or "she" did that, but no, it's "I." If we want to talk about the work we're doing in these last days, we are doing it under the seventh Malach. So keep that in mind. Now, with these teachers, and they are already sending emails in ready to start these classes, they all were giving books. Every one of them have the literature, and they're studying it. Many of them are learning English with these books. So keep in mind, you need to study the books. Do not go without studying the books. Some of the students there are being taught English through the use of these books. They're going to know what's in these books. Be mindful. Be ready to speak according to what we've been taught, the oil we've been given, and to bring that forth. Everybody work hand in hand in getting this work done. Remember, we can do everything together. And the only thing I can do is tell what I did wrong. But we will work together. We will get this work done. But I plead with each and every person, please get your children in these classes. These children were amazed with what these other children can teach. Not only were the parents amazed at the teachers, but the children themselves are amazed when they see someone their age speaking to them. We can be up there as adults. We're teaching and there's talking going on. The children walk up, it's complete silence. They'll listen to the every word. I've never seen an adult get a standing ovation. I watched a child get one in Arkansas, and everyone in the auditorium stood up because what he said had value. It seems like a common sense kind of thing, but common sense doesn't run out in society very much these days. So please, everyone, put your hand to the plow, stand behind the seventh Malach, and we can do that by studying the every words that, of course, comes forth from him. At this time, we'd like to turn it over to the great Kahan for closing prayer.